Dad, it's the Tailcast, episode 123, The Hunger Games 2, Steak and a BJ.
It's that day, and this week we're going to talk about a lot of StarCraft. We're going to kind of bring everything back together with Tomb Raider, and I'll tell you what we think. We're also going to talk a little bit about some Slim Shooter. So stay tuned.
Yeah, and welcome back to another episode of the Tailcast. It's week two in The Hunger Games. And to my direct whatever is Justin.
Hey, what's up, guys?
And I am Trent. And with us is Drew.
Hi, everybody.
See? It's a girl.
Wow, that's what my voice sounds like. I mean, I'm not listening to it right now, but when I listen to it later, I'm probably going to say that.
And you're like focusing on it right now.
Yeah.
Anyway, so this is week two of the Hunger Games, the bloodbath of redshirts. And we're going to go ahead and jump right into Justin. What have you been doing this week?
I've been doing performance evals and telling people if they got raises or not.
Wow.
That's not a fun job.
Sounds really boring.
I did 25 of them this week.
That's a good number.
Yeah, it's 25 extra 30 minutes that I didn't have before.
Yeah. At the age of 25, you can rent a car.
Well, that's an important number. But
yeah.
More so than that, I've been playing a lot of games, so I've been playing a lot of StarCraft, SimCity, and playing Tomb Raider, Tomb Raider. So nice. I'll get into that in a second, but other than that, I mean, I hung out with the girlfriend a little bit, and pretty much just like balls of the wall, gaming and work, like staying 2 hours extra from work, just staying busy, really.
Nice.
So we'll get into the games in a minute.
Yeah.
Nothing interesting.
Anything else? Nothing at all?
Oh, well, we got a story to share later, but...
Oh, we'll do that later.
I was
leaning towards that. So.
Oh, it's Mustache March.
Yes, it is.
They mentioned that
today's
last
actually Steak and Blowjob Day, by the
it
way.
Is
yes,
Steak and Blowjob
is.
Day.
Yeah.
Oh.
I reminded my girlfriend,
I
can't see you tonight.
It's the men's Valentine's Day, is what it is. Because, you know, they say that Valentine's Day, men go the extra mile for their girlfriend, and they wanted to pick a day where women go the extra mile for men. So they made Steak and a Blowjob Day, which
is
March 14th.
I think I'm going to ask my girlfriend for steak and eggs tomorrow.
Steak and eggs or steak and head?
Well, maybe.
Just
we'll
the beef tip?
I forgot the steak.
You forgot the steak?
So, I'm sorry, guys.
Let's go.
I won't mess that up next time.
don't look at me in the eyes while it's going on. So, anyway.
Did last night.
Goes for both.
All right. So. I'm real wide, and I put push the glasses down.
Actually, I'll put on those '80s visor shades, the ones that look like blinds.
That is sultry.
I'll put those on.
Lifted up the Vader helmet
a little bit steamy.
And then that way, when my head was down, you could see the Vader eyes.
It'll be steamy. So, I have two Darth Vader helmets. So,
if you get blown by Darth Vader, is that like getting blown by your father?
I wonder if it sounds like, you know, it's like
gag
a Murloc.
Reflex.
It's like a Murloc from fucking World of Warcraft. Anyways. Yeah. Yeah, it's like if he doesn't swallow it all and it gets stuck in his teeth the next day, when he breathes. It's like, Vader's been the guy again. Anyways. Let's go ahead and move forward. All right, Drew, you're new here.
So introduce yourself a little bit.
Yes, hi, my name is Drew. I'm 26 years old, I think.
That young.
I know. I know, I'm probably the youngest guest you guys have had.
No,
definitely not.
No.
I do stand-up comedy.
Awesome.
So, being that I'm a woman, you know I'm not funny, but...
Well,
that's the reason you couldn't do this on Monday night or on Wednesday night, though, was because of your stand up, right?
Yeah, I do stand up on Wednesdays, so.
But Tulsa Comedy Club?
Oh, Looney Bin, actually.
Oh, yeah, it's called Looney Bin now.
Yeah. Tulsa Comedy Club closed down from what I heard.
Yeah, that's quite some time ago. That was like, I think it was. Was
before it
the I was other
even
side?
Born.
It was the other side and Tulsa Comedy Club. Weren't those the two?
It wasn't before you were born.
No.
You were still in high school.
Yeah, because it was what's now the Barcode over there on Lewis. It was the other side, and I think next door, part of the same club, was the Tulsa Comedy Club, because we used to rent that out and do DJ shows over
there. Yeah, there's the Fetish Ball that used to be there, and a bunch of other things.
Forbidden Fetish Ball. Battle of the Bands, they used to do that over
there. I did Battle of the Bands there for years, too.
Yeah, I DJed there a couple times and played a show. So, yeah, it's a fun place. Yeah.
So, Drew, what makes you uniquely qualified for this show?
Well,
nothing.
I have tits. Well, actually, I don't. No, yeah, I'm an Aegon. Yeah, I'm not gonna lie. yeah, I was gonna create an illusion. They don't know what I look like, so. But yeah,
an illusion on a podcast.
Yes, that's what I was gonna do. But
it's an
yeah,
audible illusion.
Yeah, maybe I know. Sonar. I have no idea why I'm here, though, because, yeah, I'm an A-cup, but honestly, though, it's amazing to be here. Normally, us A-cups are only allowed to be gym teachers or professional golfers.
I like that.
That wasn't scripted at all, by the way.
Yeah, I sure was.
So, you do a lot of comedy.
I do.
All right, and you play some games.
I do, yes.
What's your system of choice, or what do
PlayStation
you...
3.
Ooh.
Yeah, I know. I get that a lot.
No. We all play PlayStation 3. It's just, you know.
Xbox. Everyone likes Xbox.
No, I'm on PC.
We're mostly on PC nowadays.
No.
So, as far as genres and things like that, what do you usually play?
Probably action-adventure.
Well, what's your...
And puzzle games.
What's your top five games?
Top five? I'd say probably Portal 2... I really like first-person shooters, like Call of Duty, Modern Warfare. I don't like Black Ops. Mm-hmm. I don't like any of the Black Ops
Did you play
games.
Part 2?
Yes.
Yeah, I like the Future Strike stuff, where you're doing the strategy planning.
Yeah.
That's fun.
I think, well, Treyarch, conceptually, they're really great, yeah. Except the execution is terrible. Like, I love the multiplayer in Modern Warfare way better than the multiplayer in Black Ops.
Yeah. Well, that's fair. So, you started with your top five.
Yeah.
Three more.
So I said Portal 2, Modern Warfare. Mm-hmm. I really like Resident Evil.
Okay. Which one? Do you like old Resi or
new? Some? Actually, like 5 and 6. I have played some of the older ones, but
did you play 4?
I did actually. I played it on Wii.
Yep.
Okay. It was actually the best game I played on Wii.
That's probably true. Yeah.
Well, No More Heroes is a pretty good contender.
No More Heroes is good.
I did like Super Mario Galaxy on Wii too.
That's actually
and Mario Kart.
Mario Kart's always popular. Super Mario Galaxy is actually like one of the best Wii games voted all time. So
yeah,
I like Zelda Twilight Princess, but apparently I'm one of the minority that likes that fucking game.
I like that on GameCube because I played it before it came out on Wii when it was still on GameCube, and I liked that game. It was pretty fun. So
what else? There's three.
Okay, Dead Island.
Okay.
I love Dead Island.
Yeah. Are you going to pick up Riptide?
Yeah, I actually pre-ordered it.
Nice.
It comes out when? March, April? Later?
Yeah, something like that. So like later this month, I think.
Okay.
Maybe next month, I'm not sure.
No, yeah. I don't know. Who cares?
One more.
And then, you know, recently I've been playing Closure. Mm-hmm. It's like a puzzle game. I really like
that.
Yeah,
it's that.
You're like a demon spider-like creature. And.
I see it on Steam.
Yeah, it's really
I
fun.
Think it's,
is that the one that's all black and white?
Yeah, it is. It's black and white, and it only shows you like a small portion of the screen. It only shows you what's necessary to solve the puzzle.
Yeah.
Okay, I've played a little bit of that. I'm going to let you talk about that here in a minute.
Yeah, I had the demo thing for it. It's on my Steam wish list. I haven't bought it yet.
I think
it's fun.
Got it while it was on sale for like $3 or something. Nice. So, Drew, what have you been up to this week?
Well, I did a bit of stand-up comedy last night.
How'd that go?
Horrible, not for me, but like just we kind of burnt the venue, meaning like
they've seen you a lot, seen your jokes a lot.
It's actually not really that. It was the second time we did this venue, and so we were there, and the second guy to go up just reamed the crowd completely, and it cleared out the bar of like 25 business guys.
Was he just being a total dick?
Yeah.
That sounds like me.
Yeah.
Totally.
I mean, he's a great guy, but it was just he messed
vented.
Up. Yeah, he vented and he messed up, and so we burnt that location. So it was really awkward because we were performing for like just a group of 5 people who've all heard our jokes and no one's laughing. And then also I was reading a book, Starbucked. It's all about, like, the history of Starbucks and how it got started.
Yeah, originally...
I was thinking about Star Galactica.
Yeah. But yeah, originally it was supposed to be a, a mermaid company. And then she did
that. Not a robot chicken.
Yeah, robot chickens. Yeah, it was supposed to be a mermaid porn website company. That's some funny shit.
Anything else, Drew?
No, I can't really think of anything.
All right, what about you, Trent?
Yeah, me, work. I picked up Java Dave's as a client. what else? Lots
some
of work.
Games.
I played some games. Beat Tomb Raider. A little bit of Sherlock Holmes. You know, Testament of Sherlock Holmes. Crap like that. Oh, we'll get into that later. What else did I do? Slept.
That's really interesting.
Yeah.
Just killing it.
Yeah, I know. It's just been one of those weeks that never ended. So.
Fair enough. Mm. Well, I'll go move us on to games then, unless you got something else.
No.
So, game-wise, me and you played some Tomb Raider. We got a recap on that a little bit.
Yeah. You want to do that now, or do you want to go through our individuals and recap?
Okay, well, your lead.
We'll go through the individual. So go ahead and tell me about your other games that you played a couple here.
Yeah, so I played a lot of SimCity. And I'll
SimCity?
It's not really that bad. There's just some really bad networking issues.
Can we call the episode SimCity?
It's like my shitty wall. It's actually, as far as global search volume went, SimCity, the new SimCity was the most searched item on Google the last week.
Yeah, because people want to find out how to fix it.
The reason is EA wants them to have always on connectivity.
Yeah.
And they want you to be able to have like an area, so you can build areas build cities in different like areas. And some of those areas have like, here's a 3-city area, here's a 16-city area. And they want people to jump in your game. The problem is each one of those are hosted on a different server. So, like, if my server's down, I got to pick a new one and start a whole new city, which sucks.
Yeah.
I wanted to get in with a game of some buddies of mine that used to play World of Warcraft with a long time ago, and theirs was on a server on the East Coast. I could not connect to their server. I could connect to every server but theirs, so I couldn't jump in on their game. I connected it on a West Coast server, and only to find out it timed out, kicked me out of the game. Jumped back in, couldn't get on that server, so I started. I've got.
Wow, so it's kind of like playing DayZ.
Well, it's worse because there's no continuity. I mean, I'm just like, I got cities on all sorts of servers, and I mean, when I can get it going and actually play, mm-hmm. not a bad game. It's fun. It's SimCity. I like SimCity. It's pretty innovative in the way that you do things, but that whole server problem is fucking bullshit.
Yeah, it's usually the number one piss off about a lot of games or the server issues.
Well, always online, and you know, it'd be nice if they weren't so fucking worried about piracy that they'd just let me play my game in offline mode and say, like, I'm going to build a city on my own. And then when I'm ready to host it live, I'll do that. Can't do that. I got to always play it on a fucking server, and that server holds my information on my city, which means that if I can't connect to it, mm-hmm. I can't fucking play.
Well, there's going to be eventually a patch that somebody creates that tricks it into not connecting to the server, but connecting
to it. It's been hacked already.
It already has. Does it connect to, like, a hosted person?
Puts it in offline mode, basically.
Yeah, so it just hosts the fake server on your hard drive.
Right, but again, it's one of those problems. It's like, you know, I'm not a big fan of Origin, and Origin is... It's like a really decent web page interface.
All it looks like is a web page.
I don't know. There's so much difference between that and Steam. Steam has such a better interface. Everything's kind of in the place that you want it. You can sort your games by genre. You can put them in your own folders. You can open it without actually having Steam open. You can play Steam in offline mode.
And Steam actually knows what it's doing and doesn't give out coupons to allow people to download pretty much their entire fucking library for free.
So, that aside, though, just Origin in general is not that great to begin with. Like, we had internet issues the other night.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And when we had internet issues, I could not connect to Origin. Like, after my web browser was working, I could not connect back to Origin for 2 hours.
Yeah, it probably just went into offline mode, did it?
Yeah, it went into offline mode, and then I couldn't play SimCity. The only thing I could play was fucking Dragon Age. Uh-huh. And while I liked Dragon Age, I didn't want to play Dragon Age. I wanted to play SimCity.
Yeah.
Right.
And that was pissing me off. And so, anyways, long story short, once you get past, if EA can get past this bullshit, the actual game itself is pretty innovative. I mean, you start off, you don't have to, like, set pathways for everything. Like, there's not... Your electricity and your water and your sewage are all connected by the streets. That's already done for you, so you don't have to connect power lines to everything. Mm. That part's kind of nice. It's streamlined in a way that I want it to. When I build things, if I want to set things for... Say I got a zone for resident. You basically zone for everything. So I've got residential, commercial, and industrial. And I just basically pick an area. I can control click it. And then within that confined space, it basically is like highlighting, like quick highlighting. Control click, I've zoned that area for residential or whatever. And I can plot that out how I want to do it. Your land values kind of increase and decrease based on the businesses around it. And the only way to get that area to increase in value and increase in density is to have, like, buildings and parks and things like that around it. So, like, there's a lot of, like, micromanagement when it comes to that stuff, but not to the level that it really bogs it down. Like, it, you can pretty much put it on autopilot, and to a point where I kind of wish it would go faster, mm-hmm. because there's a lot of times where I was just like, all right, I'm going to let my city go for about 10 minutes and go do something. Yeah. Come back and I'll have enough money to do something else because my tax revenue is only trickling in it so fast. When it works, though, I mean, like I said, it's pretty fun. The city size seems kind of small, though. I don't, compared to other Sim cities, I guess it's about the same size, but it seems like I run out of room really fast. And I build my whole, I can have my whole city zoned out in like maybe an hour.
Were there like 16 different things, like 16 different cities that all connect from what I was reading?
Yeah, you can have, like, so, like, on the bigger maps, I can have 16 cities zoned.
Okay.
And the idea is to invite friends or strangers to come play, but the thing is I left mine open for, like, 2 days, and nobody ever jumped on there, so I just started doing the other cities myself. When you do that, it puts your other city on pause, and you go develop, and I can grab resources from one city to the other, so, like, I need to buy power, so I can buy power from my other city. But... like, it's not increasing. There's no revenue being generated over there.
Oh, okay, because, like, it's on pause.
Yeah, because it's on pause. So when I go back there, my revenue will be exactly the same as it was before, which kind of sucks.
Yeah, that does.
Yeah. It doesn't feel like I'm really multitasking cities. It just kind of feels like I'm doing...
one at a time.
Yeah, so...
well, it's not like Anno or anything like that, or even Civ, where things are going on and you have to check up on your cities and stuff.
Anno, you have way more land area to zone.
I love Anno. Anno is like one of my all-time favorite games. So,
now, some of the mechanics in that game are kind of hard to learn.
Anno?
Yeah.
It's a little confusing, but once you get the hang of it, you know, it's mainly realizing your supply depots and how those affect your cities and where you can put them. That's one of the main things. So, but once you get through that, you can pretty much do a lot of crap. The only shit part is you have to fucking manufacture so much stuff. Which, I mean, it gives it kind of that realistic approach, you know, with the power tools, lumber, stone, and some of the projects you want to do will eat up a lot of your resources. So having an island that you're just going to completely demolish the hell out of and just mine it and not care about the ecosystem on it and just have boats keep transporting those supplies back to the city, that's pretty much one of the handy ways. And I like that. You know, it's very industrialist, you know.
Well, and it's kind of weird with SimCity. Like, if I want to get, like, hot, like, tech-based companies, like, working within my city, I have to have, like universities and things like that planted next to my industry, and that'll make my industry zone as, like, smart industry.
Yeah.
Like, it'll be, you know, tech-based industry. So, like, when I'm doing that, I have to have universities, which means I got to destroy some kind of zone because... like, it shows a little meter on the bottom that says, I need so much, like, there's a high demand for commercial, there's a high demand for industrial, there's a high demand for this. And the problem is I'm running out of land really fast, and then I can't zone anymore, so I've got to zone more dense. The only way to zone more dense is to make the area more desirable, but then I start running out of money, because if I want, like, certain areas, like it'll say, I have a high need for high, like, wealthy residential. If I have a high need for that, it's like... 30 people per block versus 500 people per block. So that, like, eats up all my zoning really, really fucking fast. Mm-hmm. To where the point it's not worth it because they're not worth as much money to my city as my, like, lower income or middle income people.
Yeah.
Which feels kind of vaguely communist or something. But when it works, it's pretty fun. There's some things I'm not really liking about it. The server connectivity overall is kind of pissing me off. I feel... almost comfortable reviewing it right now, but it's I would need to play with other people, and I haven't been able to do that yet because there's no real end game to SimCity. I mean, it does have, like, different things that are asked for you. Like, different city planners will ask you, hey, I would like to see more schools, or hey, I want to have so many residents doing this kind of thing, but it doesn't, there's no end, there's not enough objectives. I'd much rather be playing Tropico 4
yeah.
or Tropico 5. Like, I'd much rather play Tropico than I would SimCity at this point.
No,
just saying, really saying something. Tropico's just got a lot more character to it.
Yeah. No, I don't blame you.
So, I talked a long time. Trent, you got something small you want to talk about?
No, do you want to jump into your other game?
Okay, what about Drew?
Oh, Closure? I can talk about that.
Yeah, if you want to talk about
Go for it.
Okay. Yeah, so, Closure is a really neat puzzle game. It's aesthetically awesome because, you know, it's like black and white. And like I said earlier, it only allows you to see what's necessary to solve the puzzle. And of course, you can manipulate the items within there, within the environment, to solve the puzzle. But,
doesn't it look hand-drawn?
Yes. Yeah, they definitely gave it more of like a, yeah.
Like, it's almost like a cartoon. I played a little bit of it. It's like everything's in black and white.
Mm-hmm.
The only thing you can see is, like, the spotlight of what's...
pretty much around.
Whatever they tell you, wherever the spotlight's pointing.
Yeah, and it's mind-bending, because, like, even when you shine a light on something and you notice there's a wall there, the moment you move the light away from the wall doesn't exist anymore.
Yeah. You can only move, if I remember, where that light is revealing, so...
Yeah, and there are certain things, like there are water pits where, you know, the light, the orb, automatically likes to go to the surface... And then if it goes to the surface and you don't follow up with it, you just fall off the map and then you have to start over.
It's a pretty interesting idea.
Yeah. So. And there are a lot of different items that you have to get. Like, there's a key in some of the maps. And then, of course, you have to have a light on the key. Otherwise, the key falls off the map. So.
Right on. What
do
you
think music,
so?
Too.
What do you think so far?
I like it. Yeah, I enjoy it. It seemed, because even though, like, it's a puzzle game, it's a puzzle just to get to the different puzzles. And there's, like, a total of 3 doors with 25 levels per door. So that's 75 puzzles in total. But, yeah, I only did about 35 or 36 of them, and then I had other things to do, so I stopped playing. But I really liked it. And then when it got, like... too challenging, I would just go to Quantum Conundrum because I downloaded that as well because it was free on the PlayStation Plus.
So what do you think of Quantum Conundrum? Because that's another one of those that's kind of big on the radar with a lot of people.
Yeah, it's very similar to Portal and I enjoyed it. Yeah, great feel to it.
What is it?
Basically, it starts out you're like this little toddler in your uncle's laboratory, his mansion and his lab, and then there's an accident that happens, and then you basically spend the whole entire game going to where he is, but his house is just one giant maze.
Huh. So it's physics-based, but does it kind of have something of its own as far as solving puzzles that's different than a lot of other things, or... Like, I know there was some plays on gravity with it.
Yeah, because there are different things. Like, you can either make the objects in the room heavier or lighter. So, you have to play with that. You have to play with the gravity in the room and things like that in order to solve some of the puzzles.
Is that really its main thing? I mean, like, Portal is portals, and with that, it's gravity, or...?
Yeah, pretty much. Just a different,
She's at a loss.
Yeah, I'm at a loss on that one, I'll be honest. But I enjoy it. I really do. It's interesting, and it's fun.
That's fair.
Nice.
Trent, you got anything else small?
I got about 3 inches worth of Sherlock Holmes.
Yeah.
The Testament of Sherlock Holmes. I picked this up quite a while ago. I just never got into playing it.
You picked it up on Steam, right?
Yeah. Yeah.
It's an older game, like a couple years old, right?
Yeah, it came out just like, actually I think just last year.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, and that's why I wanted it, because I have the other games, and I like those games. And this one was, I started off, I mean, I haven't beaten it at all, you know, and I haven't really gotten too far into it. The default settings, of course, I mean, you're, like I was saying earlier, the camera just kind of whips around everywhere, the interface kind of blows. It's whatever. But it's not that bad.
Is
it's
basically a point-and-click adventure detective game?
No, it's a 3D environment walk-around, like L.A. Noir, anything like that, you know? You're just examining scenes, looking at clues, trying to put together what could have possibly happened.
I guess when I say point-and-click adventure, I mean it gives
there
you...
There is no point-and-click.
Right, but in that modern fashion like in L.A. Noir is, aside from the shooting and the driving, I mean, that's basically what it is. It's like you go to a scene, you investigate the scene...
Yeah, that's what I'm talking about, is you investigate a scene, walk around, find clues, and all that junk. So, pretty much in that vein, which has always kind of been the Sherlock Holmes franchise. So, it's enjoyable if you're into those type of things. I don't really suggest it for everybody, so...
So it's not really...
Action-packed, or no.
No, but I mean, is it not really holding your attention right now because of the way the... game controls are, or the way
no,
the
I just
is.
Had too much going on to really sit down and play it again. So,
I feel you.
Yeah.
Well, I was going to say, something else a little bit more interesting I've been playing that's of much bigger news is StarCraft. 2, Heart of the Swarm expansion, which adds, is a proper expansion, just like Brood War was for StarCraft, the original. It's a proper campaign with 20-plus campaign missions. Plus, they call it, like, evolution missions, which are something totally different. But they've changed a lot with that. I'm playing a little bit of multiplayer. Multiplayer gives you this option where you can, say you just get totally fucking stomped. Well, you can rewind the match to the point where you started to get stomped and replay it from that point.
Oh, wow.
So I asked the opponent, I was like, hey, I want to try the new rewind feature. I'm reviewing this on my podcast. You kicked my ass, like, in, like, 12 minutes. Do you mind if we rewind it? And then I'll just start playing from there just so I can see the feature. He's like, yeah, that's cool. So I'll probably kick your ass again. I was like, that's okay. And we rewinded it and totally got my ass stomped again. But, like, I rewinded it to a point where I thought maybe I had a chance. I was like, I made some mistakes here in my build order, and I made some mistakes on, like, this attack. Like, I shouldn't have left my base undefended as much as I did. And I started building back up, and he attacked me for another angle and still wiped me out even faster that time. But it doesn't matter. The rewind feature is really cool because I could, like, say I was really serious about StarCraft, as several million people are that play competitively overseas and here, I would, it'd be a really good teaching tool to kind of tell myself, like, here's where I fucked up in my build order, I'll go back and do this. And you could, you and a buddy could, like, basically scrimmage against each other and learn the game to be better that way, just going back on, instead of doing a whole new match, just like, I'm just going to rewind to, like, 3.33.
Find that choke point.
Yeah, find out where I fucked up really bad.
And just donkey punch the hell out of it.
Yeah, exactly. But that feature is something really innovative. There's not any strategy game that I know of that does that. Not a lot of other games. I mean, Prince of Persia had the whole rewind feature with Sands of Time.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, unfortunately.
But it wasn't. This isn't quite the same. Like, there's, you can actually rewind it properly to a certain point so you know what's going on.
Yeah, I remember there's been a few games that have a rewind feature, but they're not unlimited. They have a point to where it's usually, like, you know, a couple minutes or so that they'll actually let you rewind.
You could have a 45-minute match and be like, this is where I made this match long, I'm going to rewind it there.
That's what I'm saying.
And you and your opponent can agree to do it and then just...
Yeah, that's what I'm saying, is this one at least lets you go back pretty much the entire time, which is nice.
And then after that, I started watching competitive StarCraft. Did not realize how entertaining that is. Highly recommend it to anybody that plays StarCraft. Watch some competitive StarCraft. It is like watching... It's almost like watching football. If you find the right commentator, it is exciting as shit to like actually watch.
Husky StarCraft is big on YouTube for that.
Mm. Yeah, it's actually, it's crazy. Then it's just like, and then you watch how fast these people are, and like sometimes they'll show close-ups of people's hands as they're playing and how fast they fucking hotkey, and it's like, that guy is building with his left hand, and with his right hand he's commanding units. Like, that's fucking incredible. Like, because you can hotkey build stuff. You can say, like, control this, or I think control F something, I forgot. I'm obviously not a hotkey builder, but some people can do that, and they can sit there and still build stuff while they're commanding their other units. And I find that fucking incredible. This has one feature that's really cool that I haven't ever had before. And F2 is control entire army, like, all at once.
Oh, okay.
So I hit F2, I've just selected all my army, and since this is very Zerg-based in the campaign, that means I might have 180 units on screen at some point on the map, and I can hit F2, and then all my energy is like focused on this one point in the map, which is really fucking cool. Another thing it does that's a little different is you had options in StarCraft. Like StarCraft 2, you always had like different key missions that developed the character in a different way. In the first act of this, it was Jim Raynor. He was carried on from the other games, and it was all about the Marines and their fight against Minx. And anyways, long story short, like there was a lot of choice in like how you developed your characters. Was gonna add this add-on to my battle tanks, is gonna add this add-on to my fucking Marines, it's gonna add this add-on to this guy or that guy. And the same thing goes with Zerg. Like I have my Zerglings, normally they're kind of throwaway. You can use them to swarm or distract the enemy, and you can be kind of powerful in a group of about 50. But by themselves, I mean, they're fairly weak. They're just something you can build really quick and kind of throw out as cannon fodder. This one, you have one mutation that you choose. This is what the whole evolution missions are about. You go to a planet, discover a substance, and then mutate your Zerg how you want them. So I had the choice of, like, I'm going to have either 3 Zerglings every time I pop them out, or they're going to have wings. And I chose wings because they look like these crazy little roaches. And once you do that, like, now my Zerglings, instead of just being able to swarm, they can also swarm up plateaus or swarm down. So I can put them behind a base, have them drop down on the enemy as a surprise attack while I move in with my Hydralisks or whatever. So there's those things, the new mutations, which is something a little bit different, a little bit cooler than they did before. The extra options to do the planets and the different missions in different orders to kind of determine how you play out through the game. There's a whole lot of story involved. They totally revamp the, like, instead of doing, they do some cinematics, but they also do a lot of in-game dialogue and choice and kind of RPG elements, even though there's not a whole lot of choice. And during those moments, they've, like, retextured everything to where it looks like Mass Effect 3. Like, it's really good looking. And obviously, Blizzard cinematics are top-notch as always. I mean, the movie quality. So, that being said, though, I've put 15 hours in 3 nights.
Oh, wow.
I haven't slept a lot on top of work, which is why I hit so many energy drinks. But Heart of the Swarm so far is fucking badass. I haven't had any server issues. I paid $40 for it, but the game length is about the same as StarCraft 2. Like, it's literally an expansion. It's just you have to own this game, then you get this one, and they have all this additional content. I downloaded for about an hour, like maybe 12 gigs. And then one other thing that's a little bit weird is, like, as you're loading up maps, like, there's something extra that loads in the background. It'll show downloading so many spaces, so many megs or whatever. So I know that Blizzard's probably on the back end tweaking some of these things as it goes so that you have a better experience, I guess. And I'm sure some of it's for piracy reasons. But, StarCraft II Heart of the Swarm is definitely, so far, really, really doing something for me. To the point, like, Diablo 3 didn't even touch this.
Yeah.
Like, I'm way more excited about StarCraft. But
I've yet to play StarCraft, but I want to. I'm actually planning on getting that game. But I did play Civilization V, and that's like another RTS game. How does it compare to Civilization V? Have you played that?
Yeah. Civ 5 is awesome, but Civ 5 is really long.
Okay.
Civ 5 is one of my favorite games of all time, honestly. But Civ 5 is one of those games you can play all day.
Yeah.
Like, all day, and then all day the next day, and all day the next day, and still be on the same map. StarCraft 2 is very fast-paced. Like, the matches, when I'm watching the pro matches, are usually 10 to 15 minutes long.
Okay.
Because they're so quick. Matches between me and my buddies usually last about 20 to 25 minutes. Matches when you're actually playing the campaign, usually 20 to 25 minutes. So you can kind of piecemeal it out. Like, if I was playing this a little bit slower, it wouldn't be that uncommon for me to play a match before work, and then after work, play like 2 or 3, and then go to bed. And I could pace it out really easily because it'd just be in little 30-minute segments. So that part of it's actually really fucking cool. But yeah, StarCraft 2 is still as good as ever. I thought Wings of Liberty was a pretty good game. But this is definitely an improvement. Even the graphics down to the actual characters and things are been retextured. They've got a lot more. It's not Teslaization because I can just by looking at it, it doesn't look like Teslaization. But it's just better shading, better depth, better ground details and things like that. Like, everything looks like it's been revamped. So, that being said, it's a pretty cool game.
Nice.
Trent?
Alright. Well, I really haven't played anything else other than Tomb Raider. Drew, have you played anything else?
I played Tomb Raider today.
Okay, you did? Alright. Justin, you got anything else?
Tomb Raider's all I got.
Alright, well, let's jump into some Tomb Raider.
I'm going to recap a little bit.
I beat the fuck out of that game.
I did too.
Yeah.
I need to go back and do a few things. I rated all the tombs, though.
Nice, yeah.
Not did a lot of tomb ratings.
Yeah. Not hard to rate them all.
Yeah, I had to rate them all.
Take it down a notch. They're real easy to find. They're not that hard.
Yeah, So, how far are you into it, Drew? Like,
27% or so.
Okay.
Like, right, I just got it today and started playing it.
27%, so you're probably... You're on
just
the
past,
island, and you're...
Like, when the plane crashed,
yeah.
Just past that part.
Yeah, okay.
So, yeah, that... What do you think so far?
I like it. It's visually impressive. It's, you know, it's a lot like watching a movie rather than a game.
So, have you played Uncharted?
I have not, actually. I played the demo for Uncharted, and I couldn't really get into it, to be quite honest. And I know a lot of people like it. I guess it just wasn't really for me.
See, I think the thing about Tomb Raider, Uncharted, I like, was it's very Indiana Jones.
Yeah.
This kind of, to me, also feels very Indiana Jones. There's a lot of running away from things. Not everything to fight, but when it is a fight, the fights are pretty cool.
Yeah.
Overall, Trent, would you agree with me this is a pretty solid-ass game?
Yeah, surprisingly, yeah.
I didn't know... Well, you didn't know what you were going to think about it going into it.
Well, I don't like Tomb Raider. I've never really cared much for any of the Tomb Raider games and, previous actual, franchise titles. So, I was kind of, I'll check it out, and I bought it, and I actually liked it.
I was extremely impressed.
Yeah, they did a better job. They made her tits smaller, which made me happy, because... Lara Croft's, yeah, Lara Croft's original boob size was just kind of ridiculous. Yeah.
I just think it was one of those things where, like, for her body size, she looked very Barbie doll.
She was very Barbie doll, and it was kind of gross in a way when you're running around, the boobs are flopping, so.
Well, yeah. It's just one of those things, like, she had the tiny waist and she had, like, a G-cup. It didn't look quite right, you know?
It was gamer porn. It was very gamer porn body.
Yeah. So. Tits aside, though, because, I mean, obviously that's the question nobody's actually answering about it. Yeah, like, I listened to all these documentaries on the game and everything else, and everybody would ask him, what do you think about the new Laura versus the old Laura, like, hinting at her tits? And
obviously, yeah.
Nobody would ever address that. Be like, oh, we wanted to make it look a little bit more realistic, and make the story more realistic.
Well, it's not even just the tits, though. I mean, they put her in pants, so she's actually in, you know, regular cargo pants now, which is nice, because who really goes Tomb Raiding in fucking Daisy Dukes? Khaki Daisy Dukes, by the way. Old booty shorts. Who does that? With poisonous snakes everywhere and shit. What kind of a fucking dipshit? No wonder she died at the end of the series. Surprised it took that long.
Well, that being said, though, I mean, like, it just, it made her feel, there are parts of it that made it feel a lot more human.
Mm-hmm.
And obviously, towards the end, she's a little bit of a bad, it's a hardcore badass.
Yeah, she gets pretty badass by the end.
Because it's, and there's blood. There's a lot of, like, she really, she kind of evolves rather quickly. But the evolution itself, where taking her from, I'm doing a reality TV show, kind of Jacques Cousteau kind of thing, to I'm trapped on an island with fucking crazy people, to I'm like, like a fucking badass, is actually kind of,
well, it
kind of fast, but it's pretty cool.
Well, it kind of seemed like, I didn't read a lot of the literature you find on the island, because I was just really, I don't care. I just want to play. And I'm usually not like that. I usually read everything.
That was the exact opposite. I would let them play. And
usually I read them, but this one I was just like, oh, fuck, I don't care. It's fucking Tomb Raider. I was going to play. And I'll go back and listen to them eventually. But so I don't know if this is covered in any of those. I mean, they kind of hint towards with Roth talking about her father, you know, and how she doesn't really want to be like her father. But they kind of give you the impression that even though she's becoming a badass, she was kind of trained, or so she was kind of raised around that type of thing, and that she was probably slightly trained a little bit, but never wanted to embrace it, and that's why Roth has always given her pushers, you know, saying, you know, it's in your blood, you can do this, you know, you've been told how to do this crap, and you can do it, you just need to believe in yourself, and she slowly starts to. So it's the fast evolution makes a little bit more sense, that it's already there, it's just she doesn't utilize it that much. So, and
towards the end, it felt a lot like a, in a weird sort of way, like it pulled a lot of from the pages of Die Hard. Like, there's just a lot of you really should be dead, but you're not quite dead.
Yeah, you mean the very last level where you're.
Yeah,
yeah. There's a lot of stuff like everybody else is dying. Why aren't you? Okay, what the fuck?
I mean, and then just all the way she gets injured, which is really entertaining, but.
Mm.
Have you died in any crazy ways yet?
A little, yeah. I've died, like, falling and things like that.
Have you been speared in the face yet?
Yeah.
That's kind of gross, isn't it?
It is. but, yeah, I think with these kind of games, there's always a suspension of disbelief. You know, I mean, they're always going to encounter some things that, in reality, you need tons of painkillers, and you wouldn't even be able to really get out of that. But, yeah.
Well, she searches for painkillers.
Yeah, so, she did.
So a little bit of.
But yeah, there's a lot of scenes, like, especially where she got stuck in the bear trap really early on in the game, and then she was able to just kind of pry herself up and still walk after
she didn't pry herself out. They came along and hit the fault switch so they could open it. But even a flat bear trap like that with a spring set is enough to snap an ankle bone, you know.
Well,
sure, she had some boots on.
Like,
have
you ever watched Time Warp?
Boots.
You ever watched Time Warp?
Yeah, yeah, where they show the.
Did they show that guy in slow motion? He puts his arm in the bear trap?
Yeah.
Oh, look, that's painful.
Yeah. A bear trap has, you know, if it's a reasonly good.
But
bear
if
trap,
you can definitely
snap
a bone. I just.
Oh, yeah.
That guy had some training, I guess.
Yeah, he had some training, probably.
However, you train for pain, but.
Yeah. Or just hitting the right part of the bone where it's the thickest, you know, for him at least. But, yeah, that kind of thing where she's able just to shrug it off. She limped for about 3 seconds of the next scene.
Yeah.
She's running through the fucking jungle. You're like, all right, there, what the fuck ever.
But that being said, I mean, really, how fun would it have been if Lara Croft had been a total pussy the entire way?
Yeah. Oh, no, I know. I'm just talking about
and, like,
suspension.
Addressing the naysayers in the game, like, if it needed to be more survival-based and everything else, like, I was all right with hit X every time I jumped to a ledge and it was a little bit like I'm going to fall off. I didn't mind that little bit of a minigame. I didn't mind the wolf is, like, tearing into my throat and I got to wiggle my stick a little bit.
I didn't have to pull myself out of the cinematic. As soon as I saw the circle start to appear, I knew Y is the button I have to hit every time. And that made me happy because I don't have... It's like Resident Evil 6 had so many QuickTime events, and they were different buttons, and they kept, you know, you had kept getting dragged out of
it. They changed
that
to even, like, if you died and did it again, it'd be different buttons.
Yeah, and they didn't do that with this. It's always this set, you know, you jump to a ledge, if you don't get a good grip, you have to hit X to go ahead and grab back on. Okay, that's easy. Boom, I got it done. If you're doing a QuickTime event, like a counter, you got to hit Y. All right, cool, that's fine, Y, boom. And makes it easier. You're not pulled out of the video, sorry, out of the cinematic or whatever you're doing. And I didn't mind that. I actually preferred that little bit of a dumbed down version. So
I liked a lot of the little bit of minigame there was with some of the melee stuff, like when you dodge, and then I don't know if you've gotten it yet, but you basically get different abilities for, like, up close kills.
Based on combat weapons.
And
well, she's a 26, so she doesn't have some of the weapons yet, but it's based on your weapons.
Okay. So the bow one is really cool, though. Just, like, the take of the arrow and you jabs it in the side of her neck, or...
Yeah, you jab it in their neck and rip it out, and then you have an assault rifle where you just grab the fucker and just right through the face.
Oh, that's pretty cool.
I love that one. Then there's the pickaxe one, which is one of my favorites, where you grab the guy with the pickaxe straight through the head, and just you hear... you know, everything just getting ripped apart. And also, I like the pickaxe silent takedowns. Where you come up behind a guy, and if you have the bow and arrow, you'll just choke them out. But if you have the pickaxe, you'll come behind him, and you'll straight stab him in the top of the fucking head and drag them back, and then kick them forward so it rips the back of their skull completely out, which just fucking rocks.
Yeah, so far all I've really done is just, like, the stealth kills with the bow. And snapping their neck.
Yeah. That part's cool. It just gets more brutal from there.
Yeah.
Which is fine by me.
Yeah.
So,
honestly, at this point, like, I only had minor gripes about the game.
I didn't really.
The tombs. I think.
Yeah.
The tombs, it felt like Assassin's Creed 2, except way less elaborate. Like, Assassin's Creed 2 had, like, hidden tombs, basically.
Well, some of those were really out there. Like, one of the first ones you come across in Assassin's Creed 2, you had to climb through the entire chapel thing and then go up into the dome ceiling to get to that suspended room. And it took patience and a little bit of really paying attention to what you're doing. It
took a little bit of cunning.
Yeah, and in this game, all the tombs, they're puzzle-based, but they're so easy. They're
like, you can do them in, like, 5 or 10 minutes.
Yeah.
Yeah, they're not that difficult.
There needs to be more tomb raiding in the next one.
Yeah, there should be.
It's more based... It was more of a... Like a what, like almost like a coming-of-age story. It was like...
Yeah, which is...
Here's Laura's evolution. Here's how Lara Croft became a badass. Mm. And this is the story of that. And so there's a lot of it that's less about archaeology. Yeah. The overall story has to do a little bit about archaeology.
That's
and the origins,
why I don't gripe about the tomb so much, because it wasn't really supposed to be the focal point of the story, because...
It almost felt like that part was added on.
I think they might not have been added on. They just didn't want to play it up too much, because she's not really a Tomb Raider yet. She's just... She's an archaeologist, but she could really get two shits. And I mean, just
she's
because
just trying to stay
called
alive.
Tomb Raider, does she really have to raid tombs constantly? I mean, come on. There's a lot of other shit archaeologists do. You know?
Yeah, that don't involve guns or any of that
tombs.
Other stuff either.
They should make a Lara Croft game where she's in, like, the laboratory just dusting off an artifact, and
that's
the whole game.
Don't
just
break it.
Left stick, just not breaking it.
There's a quick time event for carbon, or carbon fossil dating. Yeah, that's awesome. You get to mix, like, a little bit of acid in with some water to help remove, build up and decay. Yeah, that's great stuff. Don't tarnish the artifact. You can do an abortion game called Womb Raider.
Yeah.
Classic joke, but yeah. Womb Raiders.
When I was playing on my PlayStation, the disc actually froze at one point.
That's PlayStation.
Yeah. But I was able to play it fine after that. I just had to quit and start it over.
I had a few issues where it frees up. But again, I kind of... It's sad that I do this, but, like, I almost expect some kind of jank with a game that just came out.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
I didn't used to, like, 10 years ago when they didn't have downloadable patches for everything, but...
See, I didn't run into any issues other than when I first installed it, I was running on Windows 8. And
yeah, that's Windows 8, though.
Yeah, and Windows 8 was just being a dick about it. It'll still play it, but it doesn't like it. It'll crash every once in a while. So I switched it over and installed it onto Windows 7 while I was at work that day. When I came back, it just ran completely fine. So I didn't have any freezes or anything.
But overall, I mean, after playing it, I think my gut tells me I'm going to give it a 4.5.
Yeah, I would give it. I mean, there's really nothing that I can gripe about in the game. So, and I enjoyed the story and I enjoyed the gameplay. I haven't played the multiplayer yet.
That might be kind of throwaway. I know that might be another reason why I give it a 4.5.
That's where that point
about it.
For me, that's where that 0.5 star actually sits, because I actually have invites to play with some people on the multiplayer. I just haven't done it yet. But if the multiplayer is good, I don't see a reason why not to go ahead and give it close a 4.7. Because a 5-star is really hard to get with us, but, you know, it's a fun guy.
Yeah, 4.5 is a 9.
Oh,
I mean, if you go with Metacritic, I mean, it'd
but
be 9.
I really don't see a reason not to give the game 5 stars, because I didn't run into any issues. I had no issues, the game was fun, it ran great, it ran perfectly. The only thing that I'm drawing back on right now is I haven't played the multiplayer yet, and that is something I have to take into consideration, so.
Yeah.
Yeah, but I don't see a reason not to give it the coveted 5 stars and only... What two other games have had?
Well, Skyrim.
Skyrim, and I think Mass Effect. I think we gave Mass Effect 2.
Mass Effect 2, we gave it 5.
Yeah. 3, I would even give fucking 5 stars to be honest with you. So that's
you know,
games.
After as much as I've played 3,
yeah.
And the multiplayer being as fucking solid as it is, I'd give Mass Effect 3 a 5 star now. Regardless of the bitching about the end that I didn't have a problem with.
Who gives a shit? Yeah, I had no problem with the end. That's just people who fucking want to bitch. The game's solid. Totally solid. It's BioWare. They make great shit. Bethesda, Skyrim, great fucking game. New Vegas would have had 5 stars for me if it didn't glitch the fuck out and I lost my companion for fucking 20 hours of the game, you know?
Right.
Other than that, it was a fun game. It was a great game. But
yeah,
Tomb Raider, I can see giving that 5 stars. It's like Dark Souls, 5 stars in my opinion.
Well, Dark Souls is solid as shit. And as the Tiltcast way is, Dark Souls... permeates through every episode at this point. It's gotta be brought up. We've brought it up every episode.
Is
for
that
about
the one Holly hates?
Mm-hmm.
Dark Souls. It's the name of the title.
Just wait till part 2 comes out.
Oh, she'll really hate Dark Souls.
Yeah. No, I almost bought it for her. We were at Binge Stock and she was like, oh, there's Dark Souls. She's like, I'm kind of curious to play it. So I was like, do you want it? I'll buy it. Just so you'll play it, you know? And she's like, no, I'll never get around to it. Knowing her, yeah, she never will. Yeah. So I was like, fuck it, whatever.
Well, it's a good thing because one of our guests coming on in a couple weeks
mm-hmm.
really likes Dark Souls.
Nice.
So
there we go. We'll have a Dark Souls hour.
Well, we'll have a Dark Souls hour.
Yeah.
It'll nice. Be a commune.
So how far are you in it? Have you finally beaten it yet?
I've got around to it, man.
You need to. Man.
I have too much stuff to do at work.
I've beaten it and I'm halfway through
working
my second
on New Game
so.
Plus. You know, I felt really guilty when I was playing Dragon's Dogma the other night and I started New Game Plus and I was like, man, I could be playing Dark Souls.
Yeah, that's true.
I felt like I was cheating on it.
Have you played Dark Souls at all?
I haven't, no.
You,
so,
yeah.
Have you played Demon's Souls?
No.
That's on PlayStation. You
yeah, that is a yeah. that is a PlayStation 3.
That one's actually a lot harder, in
Demon's
my
Souls?
Opinion. Demon's Souls is, because it's you really have to understand the mechanics of the world that they
I
don't have in Dark Souls. So
you know, a lot of people say Dark Souls is harder. I think what...
No, Demon's Souls is harder.
Really what it is Demon's Souls has harder bosses.
Yeah.
Dark Souls has harder everything else.
Yeah. Well, except for one thing, and that's the world, the way the world reacts. And the world does react in Demon's Souls in that if you die, you know, you have it turns into, what is it, the light or the dark.
Yeah.
And it changes phases based on how you're playing, which will alter everything. It'll alter pathways
types,
you go through,
pathways.
Enemy types. So it's like, you know, if you're really trying to... If you're set on doing something, if you fuck up too many times, you can't do it now. You have to wait, or
oh,
you have to get humanity and come back to life.
Yeah, yeah. Otherwise, you just
and then get killed by somebody else at level 600. But
yeah, which sucks. Because when you're human, when you get your humanity back, so you can go back and it's like, oh, I died too many times. Now I got my humanity back, and I can go to where I want to go. You've been invaded. Somebody and then another player comes after you to kill you to get humanity, and then you have to start all over again. So it can be pretty hard.
Basically, the XP and the leveling that you have are souls.
Mm-hmm.
And when you die, you lose those souls at that point that you died. So if you fell off a ledge, they're right there. If an enemy killed you, they're right there.
Yeah.
But when you die with Demon Souls, you have to start back at the beginning of the level and work your way back over there.
And then you can reacquire the souls.
Yeah. Unless you die again.
Unless you die again.
And then they're lost for good.
Okay. But, which also means you either got to complete the level or go back to the beginning and then save, or in the case of Dark Souls, find a bonfire, save, and then it just saves where you're at, basically. And then you can spend them and level up in different abilities.
It's a constantly online game, so it's one of those things where it's constantly saving.
You can play it offline.
You can play it offline.
It's just more fun to
play
online.
But it won't save anything. No, on games for Windows. No, on Xbox, yeah. No, you're talking about for online play with multiplayer. I'm talking about with PC. If you play offline mode where you don't log into your Games for Windows Live,
That's Games for Windows Live.
Yeah,
if you don't log into
it does not save any of your data. So
but
you
can
just
play
have to keep starting over again.
Yeah, but that's because it's tied to your profile.
Exactly,
that's different.
Yeah.
But
yeah. No, but you
can
turn off multiplayer.
Right, but you can turn off the online feature. So if you're having connectivity issues, which I guess if you've got to sign into Windows Live, you're fucked.
Yeah, exactly. That was my biggest problem with it with the Windows 8 beta, actually. Because the Windows 8 beta, the game for Windows Live, didn't work. So I had to reinstall Windows 7 just to play Dark Souls. So, but now they fixed it. Now it runs actually perfectly on Windows 8. So.
But yeah, that game is a hot mess of awesomeness.
Yes, it is. It's one of my faves.
I gotta re-update my favorite games. I think I gotta put Dark Souls
I gotta update mine too. It's been a while. So
if you haven't played Dark Souls and you're in for something extremely challenging.
And very rewarding.
Yeah.
So.
I will try that.
It's a good 60-70 hour game. So you'll be
yes, you can
speedrun
it faster. But
yeah, you can speedrun
it. If you're playing that kind of game for your first time through, you're probably going to be a pussy like me and like level the shit out of yourself.
That's what I'm saying. It's about 60-70
hours. Yeah.
So my second playthrough, I've gotten halfway through the game in like fucking 10 hours. It hasn't taken me that long because I'm a lot stronger and they're lower. Yeah,
you probably over-leveled a little bit in your first game.
Yeah, I am a little bit over-leveled from my first game, so everything's easier. But now that I'm actually at the four kings that you have to take down one by one, I'm at the one that can multiply himself. He's beating the shit out of me, so yeah. So I gotta level up even more now. So which sucks because it takes like 20 or 30,000 souls for me to level. So
yeah, the game's so fucking hard. There was a point where I had it stop for about a month, and I played about once every 3 or 4 days on one boss that I couldn't beat.
Was that the brothers?
That was the brothers, yeah. Ornstein and
whatever his name is. Yeah.
What, Fat Guy and Stunfight?
Yeah.
But yeah, there was a part where I got stuck in a fight and I was like, I'm going to beat it. And I'm going to play it every few days for about 2 hours and didn't finally have a breakthrough until the very end of that month. And I was like, now I finally beat it. Like, I had a fucking beer. I was like, I was so happy I beat
that's
it.
That's what I did. I got stuck on them as well. And for like a month, I just kept grinding every night, getting soul after soul after soul so I could get better armor, like heavier armor to wear to protect myself against her hits, more stamina, stuff like that.
Yeah,
and
I just built the shit out of my stamina.
I just got to a point where I was like, I was doing all that, and then I read, oh, Dark Souls for PC will be out here in like, you know, 2 months. I was like, well, fuck this. So I put it down. I was like, just screw it. I'll start over on Xbox. I'm happy I did.
You know, PC.
This is already on PC, and I'm happy I did because I had a better understanding of what I needed to do from the very beginning.
Yeah.
So it helped me really structure how I played the first half of the game. And then once I got through those guys in Orlando, I was able to experience the rest of the game I hadn't played yet, you know, which was great. And fun game. Really fun.
Yeah, I need to play it.
Dark Souls.
Dark Souls.
It's even fun to say.
It is fun to say.
Dark Souls, Prepare to Die Edition.
I even brought up Dark Souls at work today. I told somebody that they should play Dark Souls.
Yeah.
Somebody that doesn't play that many video games.
Yeah, we should start a group where people meet to talk about Dark Souls and eventually.
I was looking for Dark Souls t-shirts the other night.
It'll become a religion eventually.
I found some Dark Souls t-shirts on Cafe Press.
Nice.
And then I found some on.
Were any of them good?
Found one that was the. What was the name of that demon in the hell level?
The
really big
ceaseless
one.
Ceaseless Discharge.
It was said Ceaseless Discharge, and it looked like fucking like Cradle of Filth.
It's like when I come.
And it said Ceaseless on the top of the Discharge, and it had like the big open maw. And it was just that was the shirt.
So that's
it looked like
a
heavy metal t-shirt.
That's
why
I nicknamed my orgasms.
Ceaseless Discharge.
It's just everywhere, so much of it.
You play so, like you feel like you're Spider-Man.
I can fill up a kiddie pool with children in it. So.
That's horrible.
Oh, Anyway, so yeah, Tomb Raider. I really enjoy the game. I would actually consider giving it 5 stars if the multiplayer is solid, which when I get around to it.
So, Dark Souls or Tomb Raider?
Tomb Raider.
Dark Souls is a 5-star.
Dark Souls is a 5-star game no matter what. I mean,
praise the sun.
We need more expansions. We really do. Yeah, they did one. They did one expansion to it. That's probably about maybe 6-7 hours. And it was really good, really solid. It was actually harder than the main game.
I can't believe we talked about Dark Souls for.
I know we're still talking. This is why Molly gets so mad. So anyway, so yeah, Tomb Raider, 5-star game.
Yeah, 4.5.
What about if you play multiplayer and it just kicks so much ass?
4.75.
I give about 5.
Harsh critic.
Well, you had issues with the game, too.
I'm trying to be a little bit more critical. I think when I first went into this, I tended to rate a lot of everything higher. Mm-hmm. But as I play a lot more games, I don't want to become, like, the point where I'm just completely, saturated with games. But because I've had so many choices, I kind of have to rate a little bit finer on what I like. Like, there's a lot of things that are enjoyable experiences, like fucking Insect Armageddon.
That's fun.
Earth Defense Force. I will say that game I would probably give a fairly shitty review because it is a BS game. But
fun as shit.
It is one of the. It's like going to the arcade.
Yeah.
And just like fucking destroying shit. Like it is.
The way I see this is that how long have we been doing this now?
Almost 3 years.
And in 3 years, we've only given 3 games 5 stars.
Yeah.
That's one game a year. Tomb Raider, in my opinion, I can give it a 5-star because I don't throw out 5 stars at all. And in fact, I rate most games kind of low. I mean, Singularity got what for me? I think 2 stars.
Yeah, but that's not a very good game.
No, it's not. But it got like 2 stars. Fucking Left 4 Dead and Sacrifice. I love Left 4 Dead. I gave Sacrifice, I think, like maybe 3.5 out of 5 or 4.
Just wasn't.
I think it was 3.5 out of 5. And that's because there's a little bit of ingenuity, but nothing new.
Right.
So.
Well, I think it also helps, too, that you went into Tomb Raider with low expectations.
Yeah, I went in, and it won me over. That's the reason I gave it a 5, because it made, a survivor was born, but so was a fan.
That's a t-shirt right there.
Yeah, exactly, yeah. And I enjoyed it. Yeah, it was great. So, I will give
it
a 5.
Do you need a Tomb Raider t-shirt now? Do you feel like you're at that point?
I don't want girls to think I play that shit. Because they'll think I'm a sexist pig right off the bat. I'd rather they find that out later.
The kinder, softer, gentler Tomb Raider.
Yeah. Yeah, the more eco-friendly Tomb Raider. So,
I don't know. They started to take it into that whole, like dead or alive territory after a while with her whole, like...
Yeah.
Her whole person... You'll find out that her clothes get more and more ripped.
As this game goes on?
Oh, yeah. Her boobs get all scarred up.
Oh, okay.
They're like scarred and stuff. You're just like, that skin ain't growing back.
But like even her, like her pant legs are all fucked up, and her arms are always fucked up, and
well, it looks like leather, and somebody took like little leather crafting kits and just stamped lines all into her boobs, so that shit is not coming back. It doesn't even look like gashes; it just looks like imprints,
like bad scars.
yeah, just bad scars. So. But anyways, so that's our Tomb Raider recap and thoughts.
Must play for the year, honestly.
Yeah.
I'm going to give it a must play for the year.
Yeah.
If StarCraft keeps being as good as it is, that might be a must play. That's Blizzard's chance to redeem itself since the last time they did a StarCraft game.
And also since Diablo.
Yeah. So, I'm not going
to
mention that.
Well, they've got one more to go this year.
You know, after all the shit with Diablo, I'm kind of curious to go back in.
Uh-huh.
To see if they've made any tweaks, because it wasn't just me bitching. There was a lot of people bitching.
I know, there were.
Especially after Path of Exile came out and just fucking blew the doors off it when it came to functionality and leveling and everything else.
Yeah.
And fun.
For me, it's the skills. The skills are just so dumbed down, you really didn't have any real options or choices. I mean,
by the time you're getting to life, you had,
I think, 4 options to go from.
Yeah, but after you get past Nightmare Mode, I mean, pretty much it's like AoE and run from everything.
Yeah.
Just everything kills you, and it's just like, that's not fun. I don't want to, like, run in circles while I cast things.
I miss having the spell book and the combat, your books where you can choose what it is you want to really do, and this one, there's a lot of passive shit that it just does automatically, and you're just attacking. Oh, hey, guess what? Here's an attack that'll let you do, like, 2 hits. Boom, there you go. So now you can attack 2 enemies at once, and you're like, that's shit. Where's my actual skill trees and everything? And I'm like,
you had 4 or 5 different character classes. You had a monk, you had a demon hunter, you had
barbarian,
witch doctor, and mage, 5 classes.
Yeah, and I was mad they got rid of the paladins. That was like my number one character.
Well, you could have a character that came with you that was a paladin.
Fuck that! I want a fucking pally from the start. I remember whenever they first said, hey, Diablo 3 is coming, I was like, I hope they have pallies.
No pallies.
6 months later, no pallies.
But
like,
I got a
fuck yourself.
I got a pally in Path of Exile. I got a holy knight, basically.
Basically, yeah, that means go and play Path of Exile. It's an indie game. It's free, isn't it?
It's free to play.
Yeah, it's free to play, and it's everything Diablo should have been. So, anyway, with that, we're going to hop onto a break, and we're going to get that blowjob and steak, and we'll be right back.
I'll get on it.
All right.
Were very dry.
She's been eating a lot of pretzels.
Yeah, she has.
That's what it is.
Yeah.
It's all that salt.
It's all that salt, yeah. And bread. Anyway, so let's go ahead and jump right into this. Justin, do we have anything in our tea bag?
In our tea bag?
Yes.
Yeah, a little bit.
Some Earl Grey. Yeah.
So, surprise. Ian wrote in.
As always.
Hey, but we appreciate it.
You need to get a life.
Well, he writes to our show, and some of our friend shows, too.
You really need to get a life.
Well, he could talk to us more online.
Yeah, I wish he would.
Yeah, I wish. Yeah. Ian, fuck bird.
We love him.
So, that being said, Ian did write in. He says, to the nasty one in the trench show, the Holly Badger, which will be back at some point, and the rookie. Well,
that would be you.
That would be
that
you
would
on this
be
episode.
Me.
Yeah, you're the rookie.
Well, that game is afoot. I think the most important question the newbie has to be asked to decide is if they are tiltcast with it. Bleh, I'm gonna start over. Well, the game is afoot.
Who's
I think the most the most important question the newbie has to be asked to decide if they are tiltcast worthy is simple. Do you believe in UFOs, astral projection? Mental telepathy, ESP, clairvoyance, spirit photography, telekinetic movement, full trance mediums, the Loch Ness Monster, and the theory of Atlantis.
Can I answer this? I'll believe anything if you pay me enough. It's a Ghostbusters quote.
Yeah. Yeah. He'll enjoy that.
Did he actually say it was a Ghostbusters quote?
No, he didn't.
Yeah, I knew that one. Hey,
so,
well,
Drew.
Do I have to go through each one of those?
Yes.
Yes, you do.
Okay, UFOs. UFOs, I think, are probably basically just military testing.
Skip to the end. Sorry,
yeah.
I'm just giving shit, sorry.
No, yeah. UFOs, probably just military, testing out planes, things like that. Astral projections.
Astral. Did he write astral?
Astral?
No, he wrote astral.
Astral projections.
Okay, yeah.
Well, I was thinking about Astro the dog.
Fucking baseball team, people. That's not the fucking Astros.
Or George Jetson's dog.
Yeah, George Jetson's dog.
See, I think of baseball first, but I am a nerd.
Astral projections, just really good imagination there. That's what I was going to go with for that one. Mental telepathy. I do believe in that because I know Noss is thinking that's a terrible blowjob I gave. ESP.
It's a good steak, though.
It was. Great steak. I went out and got that during
Tube
the break.
Steak.
Yeah. ESP. What the hell is that again?
That is extrasensory perception.
Sure. Really? Isn't that like a sixth sense?
Just change it to ESPN. Do you believe in ESPN?
So that's like, alright, so like the sixth sense, basically?
Yeah, basically.
And clairvoyance is like where you call in spirits?
No,
that's where
like
you can
you know
hear
something.
Them?
It's like if you know something's going to happen.
Or you know something without having
like
any
a premonition?
Real, not even. It's sort of, it can cover that, but ESP can also be you know something that you should not know.
No,
like,
ESP can be basically mind reading. Clairvoyance could be the knowing that something's going to happen, maybe not what, but knowing that something bad is going to happen.
I'm talking about ESP. Like, for instance, I can tell you exactly how many bills and what types of bills you have in your purse. Something like that. You know?
Okay.
Yeah, something that I should not know. So.
See, here's the thing. I try to believe in principle sufficient reason. So I think everything is explainable, to be quite honest. And even if you don't have enough data, you know, that's the only reason why you can't explain.
So you're saying you're not a very good Ghostbuster.
No, I'm a terrible
Ghostbuster. Actually, she would be perfect for it then, because she would, you know, look for the debunk on everything before saying it was a ghost.
Yeah.
So what is spirit photography?
Spirit photography, isn't that like a little...
Orbs.
orbs.
Yeah, that's just what people take pictures of most of the time, which is little floating things, which are dust most of the time. It's like, orb has a smiley face. It's dust.
I watched an interesting show on Sci-Fi called School Spirits. I'm not gonna give it merit. I'm not gonna give it any merit. I'm not gonna say the stories are true, but they're still dramatic and interesting, and I'll watch them.
I watch stuff like
Ghost Hunters, like, when you went on that marathon.
No, that was fun just because I really liked that the two guys, the two younger dudes that were on it, Rico, whatever. They're fucking hilarious, but they were interesting to see these really kick-ass locations, and intimately, too, because they go into, like, the underworks of, like, you know, these really famous hotels and places. That was cool. But I watched, like, A Haunting.
Yeah.
Because it's almost like watching a horror movie, you know, a ghost movie. So it's about the same. They pretty much narrate it the same.
Yeah, you don't even need Paranormal Activity. You can just watch Ghost Hunters.
I fucking hate Paranormal Activity. So but that's why I watch stuff like A Haunting or My Ghost Story, stuff like that, because it's I get to watch something new that's about ghosts, and it's pretty much treated like a fucking, you know, a drama, so it's not bad.
So, moving further along here, telekinetic movement, how do you explain that?
Telekinetic movement?
Farts.
Basically,
farts, and it moves into
telekinesis. I don't think I've ever seen telekinesis in action.
I don't think a lot of people have.
Chris Angel. The only powers Chris Angel has is a pussy magnet. That's like the only...
Is he a pussy magnet? I thought he was more of a, like...
Well, he's a pussy.
Yeah, I was gonna say.
Maybe he magnetizes just being pussy-ness.
I was gonna say fag hag, but we can't use that word on the show.
Yeah, that's one of the rules.
Yeah.
Rule number one, don't talk about podcasts.
Yeah, pretty much. No, Chris Angel's a... fucking douche. It's like that
David, he is.
What about David Blaine?
Yeah, I fucking hate that guy too. Fucking Blaintology.
I would rather, well, you know, I guess I don't know that much about David Blaine, but I
feel
like
David
Blaine's a lot
better.
Are you
gonna rate this on which one you would bang? Because you're saying, I think I would rather, and I thought you were gonna say, I'd rather bang Chris Angel, but I would date David Blaine.
Well, I don't like Chris Angel. I can't stand Chris Angel.
No, neither can I. Neither can he, actually, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I have a more personal backstory with why I hate him, but
yeah.
I'm not going to bring that up on the show.
Really? Because that's kind of interesting. I kind of want to know now, but that's after
the show. People can ask me on live or whatever.
I'm going to ask you after
the
this.
Guy, Chris Angel pulled a penis out of Justin's butt. It just happened to be him.
Ta-da!
Right when he came, he's like, ah, ta-da, white rabbit on your back.
Not so much.
Full trans mediums. I'll be honest, don't know what that one is.
Trans mediums are basically people who, well, you know what a medium is, right?
Like a spirit?
No, like
no.
Somebody that sits
they
around a table
communicate
and like,
with
communicates
spirits.
With the dead.
Oh, okay, like like a psychic.
Yeah, it's a trans.
Yeah,
medium,
trans.
So.
Okay, like
not really.
Father's in the
psychic.
Room. He's angry.
Psychic,
yeah, no,
psychic's
you know
not
what?
The right word.
Isn't
that's
that like inductive
medium.
Reasoning or abductive reasoning, where it's just reasoning backwards? You see an effect and you determine the cause.
Sort of. That's
I think
actually,
that's probably the method employed.
That's
what?
The method employed with a lot of the con artist ones. The
yeah.
ones that they say are full trans mediums are the people who can basically fully see, talk, and communicate with dead people.
Or like John Edwards. I used to watch that.
Yeah,
he's like,
H-Bad,
I have
yeah,
an L.
Yeah.
I have an L. Over here, an L.
Yeah,
somewhere
right,
in this.
You lost somebody near to you with a letter D in their name. Now, is it...
It's
is
like playing
out
World
of the
Fortune.
500 people
he goes,
here.
I see it's your dad. He goes, my dad's name was Mark. Yeah, but it was Daddy. I called him Daddy all the time. Dad, right? It had a D in it, you know. And, yeah, it's stupid. You had an animal die recently? I've seen a D... A D. It's like, did you have a canine? And they go like, yeah, but its name was like Tony. Yeah, but it was a dog. It was a dog. You called it dog. You called it dog. It's like, no, I called it Tony. Yeah, but you said, hey, that's my dog, Tony. That's why I'm picking up. Is it thought its name was dog. It thought Tony was something else, like a period. I do a good hand gestures of John Edwards. So.
John Edwards.
Fuck him in the ass.
What do you think of the Loch Ness Monster?
True story. One time...
It's real, mother... That was good.
One time, this guy came up to me and he asked me for a 350.
I know this one, yeah.
And it was a goddamn Loch Ness Monster.
Yeah, one time this guy came up for 350. He was a goddamn Loch Ness Monster. Fucking stuff.
Yeah.
That's an old one.
Loch Ness Monster, Sasquatch? No. I think those are all just...
What about the Chupacabra?
Isn't that like the Mexican Sasquatch?
No, that's the Mexican blood-sucking thing.
Furry vampire thing.
Yeah. El Chupacabra.
El Chupacabra.
Otherwise known as the Pope.
The Pope.
Yeah.
I think it's funny that they, like, induct the, or they announce the new Pope by blowing smoke.
Yeah, the new Argentinian Pope. So I always thought it was funny is that the black smoke means they haven't found an answer, white smoke means they found one, red smoke means they're out of pizza.
Yeah.
It's like a Little Caesar's time.
Blowing smoke. But, yeah, I don't believe in Loch Ness Monster, Sasquatch, any of that, I'll be honest. I'm not, I used to, I guess, but then I don't know.
What about the theory of Atlantis?
The theory of Atlantis, the lost city of Atlantis. Tomb Raider, Laura Croft, she could find it.
Well, no, you gotta ask yourself, what version of Atlantis? Do you mean Plato's, or do you mean the over-glorified fucking Hollywood version?
Or Donovan.
Because originally it was just a civilization that was on an island that basically had cool stuff, like, you know, hot, cold water. Had animals that they had picked up from all different types of continents and everything, which is not too far-fetched, because we do
say the Romans
now.
had at least fucking plumbing.
Yeah, exactly. And it's just for their time that they were very advanced in what they did. And I could see...
How did it get submerged?
It was on a tectonic plate.
Oh, okay.
That moves, you know, what happens
shifted
is, well, you have underwater volcanoes that basically build up and form islands, like Hawaii. There's a lot of volcanoes on that were originally under the water, or there was no water around there, and it forms up with the constant lava flow hardening and turning into rock, and then turns into a landmass. And then if you get a large enough earthquake or something, that can sink the whole goddamn thing, because it cracks the column and it just goes down. So it's possible to say that, yeah, Atlantis could have existed, or at least some place that was called Atlantis.
That's not unreasonable.
Yeah, and I actually don't doubt that. I do believe that there was probably a place called Atlantis. Because for somebody like a very well-known historical philosopher to talk about it in such detail, like, I was there, I saw it.
Yeah.
Doesn't make sense that he'd be making it up, so.
Plato talked about Atlantis?
Yeah. Yeah.
Alright, so, as for the real question, going back to the email, has anyone on the cast ever played the game Toonstruck?
I'm exhaling as a no, so.
Christopher Lloyd, no. Mm-mm.
So, he said it was an awesome point-and-click adventure game starring Christopher Lloyd as himself among an all-star voice acting cast. I have
like Corey Haim.
No, let me see. Is that all-star cast?
Tim Curry. Wow.
No, man, yeah, it's fucking.
Don DeLuise.
Wow. I had to try and do the laugh again, dear.
Rob Paulson. Ben Stein.
Jeez.
No, I have not.
Mueller.
Bueller.
Red, dry eyes.
That was the perfect impression right
that's
there.
That's what I think about now whenever. It's
the
Bueller.
Dry eyes.
It's the red, dry eyes.
We had that Win Ben Stein's Money game.
Yeah,
yeah.
That was a great show.
I used to watch that.
Yeah, it was a good one.
And, unfortunately, nobody here has played Toonstruck.
You think he wants to win that money back by now?
It's not his money.
He's not making much money now.
It's the studio's money. He doesn't need it. That guy, Ben Stein's not just a comedian. He's also, what was he? Analyst, wasn't he?
Oh.
Yeah, if I remember,
he was
a stock analyst, if I recall.
Yeah, he probably still has money.
No, he has a lot of money. The guy is very intelligent. He's one of those people that had a profession who just whittled his way into doing comedy. Kind of like Arlie Ermey is a drill sergeant, was a real drill sergeant, and sent in a video of 20 minutes of him reaming an entire group of guys, and Kubrick was like, I want him. That's the only reason he really, you know, he was an advisor and he got brought in on that. So,
well, the last part of his question is, if a game like this was ever made to be, or was ever to be remade, it'd be a great choice for the main protagonist. Let the cast in. I don't know.
I don't know, because
what's the game about?
Does he even...
He provided a link.
Storyline.
Let's see.
Way to go, Ian. You gave us a link. It's like giving somebody herpes.
I'd actually have to look this up.
Try going up to the very top. Okay.
We're having technical difficulties.
Nope.
Give us a minute.
Based on an original idea.
Let's see. Genres. Hold on.
Oh my god.
I haven't played a lot of point-click adventure games, to be honest with you.
I used to play a lot of them. While we're talking about this, there's a game that I don't know how many people played back in the day. It was a game called Double Switch that was for Sega CD, and it had which one's the dead one? Is it Haim or Feldman?
Haim.
Okay, it had Corey Haim in it playing the main character. And what it was is that you lived in this apartment building, you had just moved in, and Corey Haim is you're basically looking through the security monitors and stuff. And Corey Haim says, "Hey, listen, there's some bad people around here doing horrible stuff. I want you to watch the security monitors, set up these traps, and spring them on these people to keep them from being able to take the hotel and all that crap." And it's live action. Like, it was basically done in the vein of Night Trap, which was a game that got pulled for Sega CD because it had girls and teddies and stuff getting murdered. It was a great game with David Plato, who eventually died. But it was a great game. I actually enjoyed Double Switch quite a bit. It was fun. So
it's a game about a cartoon?
Yeah, I thought Christopher Lloyd was playing himself, though.
Yeah, I guess it says an animator who, upon being pulled into a cartoon world populated by his characters, tries to help the Qtopians in an effort to return to his own world.
So it's kind of like Cool World, but for kids?
Or Roger Rabbit or something kind of like that.
Well, Roger Rabbit's more, it coexisted.
Yeah.
Cool World, he actually got sucked in.
Gaida Golf.
Let's see. I don't know.
What systems is it for?
Windows.
Yeah. Just one.
I'd say I wasn't playing a lot of PC games, actually, until, right after this came out, because this came out in 1996, so the PC games I was playing at that time is I had very little money, because I was in high school. I played a lot of Fallout, the original one, Fallout 1 and 2. I'm trying to think what else I was playing.
96.
I played some of the MS-DOS stuff, I played some of the MUD stuff.
Was PlayStation 1 out?
Absolutely, yeah.
Yeah, that's what I was playing a lot of, was PlayStation 1.
That was back in a generation where there was console gaming quite a bit more.
Yeah. And
shortly after that, I got a Dreamcast right before I went to college, and then I got a...
Also, that was, like, right before I graduated, high school, so I was playing a lot of console stuff and working, so...
Let's see, I worked at Arby's, had a paper route, and played a lot of music.
Yeah, you're a little bit younger than me, too, so it just makes it funnier. Because I was... How old are you now?
I'll be 31 this year.
Yeah, 31. So I was 32. So 96.
Oh, you're 3 years older than me.
Yeah, so 96.
Getting ready to hit the big 3-4.
I was like 17 or something like that. No, 96. I was about 17. Yeah, or 18 actually.
So you
almost
multiply your age times 2. You're almost 70.
Yeah. I view it as in
halfway through life.
Now, the beauty of it is that you don't really look forward to 30, and then when you finally turn 30, you realize my 20s was when I just fucked off and did a bunch of stupid shit. Now I'm in my 30s, so I'm smarter, I'm more laid back, I'm less arrogant, I can actually enjoy myself. And I actually am, yeah, that's the beauty of it. I actually am enjoying my 30s quite a bit because I don't get into as much shit. When I was 23... I was getting into more shit that I really didn't want to be into. Now that I'm 33, it's just nice and mellow. I have a good job. I like my apartment. I like the people I work with. I like my friends. Yeah. Fun stuff. I didn't have that when I was 23, so...
Feels good to rationalize.
Yeah, no, it's trust me, when you get there, you'll...
I'm already there for the most part.
It'll hit you. No, not until you're, like, 33. When you're 33, it really hits you because now you're 3 years into the 30s.
The same year
that hit you then.
That's because I kept telling you last year that you're the same age as Jesus when he died.
No, I didn't give a shit about that. I remember somebody said that they needed to crucify me for their sins. And I was like, it's like, you're not invited to my party. So, yeah.
Well, your birthday's at the end of the month.
Yes, my birthday is at the end of the month.
So for those local people that listen that are friends.
I'm doing a bar party.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So March. You should message Trent and he will give you details.
Or it's on my Facebook, so I think it was fine in there. I still need to send out full invites. Talk to Jason, he'll be there. So.
Well, anyways, that email aside. Kind of got distracted there. You have any news, Trent?
Do I have any news?
For discussion?
No, not really. I mean, there was some talk about the Dead Space 3 DLC, but nothing really revealed for it, so... Or it's a return to horror, so we'll see how that goes.
Peter calls us.
You got a piece of news?
I do. PETA news.
Oh, great.
I wanted to bring PETA up. So there's already trailers out there for Assassin's Creed 4.
Yeah. Which looks awesome.
Yeah. And PETA releases a press release which reads, "Whaling, that is, shooting whales with harpoons and leaving them to struggle for an hour or more before they die and or hacked apart while they are still alive, may seem like something out of history books. This bloody industry still goes on today in the face of international condemnation. It is disgraceful for any game to glorify it."
Wow.
When I watched the Assassin's Creed trailer, I didn't really walk away thinking, I'm going to go buy a boat, and I'm going to go out to the ocean, and I'm going to kill a bunch of fucking whales. That's not... What the fuck? Was there even a whaling scene in the trailer?
Well,
I don't recall.
Apparently you get to kill some whales.
Oh, who gives a shit? It's fucking history. Hey, guess what? Are they going to trash on Moby Dick? Oh, they already did. I forgot. They already attacked Moby Dick.
Yeah.
One of the greatest literary...
Tanuki suit and fucking Mario.
Yeah. But no, this is history. Okay, you know what? When Dishonored came out, they had a fucking crucified whale in the middle of the goddamn town that they were extracting fucking oil out of and just leaving it there.
Everything's powered by oil.
Yeah, everything's powered by whale oil. But they had this whale just sitting there viscerated and hung up in the middle of the fucking town, still alive. I didn't hear a fucking damn word from PETA. They're only going after the big AAAs, the big titles that's going to get them headlines because they want people to remember, hey, we're PETA, we're still around, unfortunately. We're here.
PETA encourages video game companies to create games that celebrate animals, not games that promote hurting and killing them.
What about games that are historically accurate? What about games that teach
kids
what
really
with... No, historically accurate. No, but it's Assassin's Creed. They always try and tie a little bit of history in, but their own take on history. So, in that vein, whaling would be around during that time, and since it's a very nautical-based game, which you and I talked about, it would be awesome if they did a nautical game. They did it. But either way, it's being historically accurate to what society was like at the time with the whaling.
I got a really good blurb here.
So, do they want people just to grow up thinking that, what, we never depended on whales and shit? Only pirates, like evil people in China and crap?
Well, the leader of PETA was the same lady that killed a bunch of animals.
Yeah, I know.
She
used to work for a shelter, and rather than put the animals down, she'd take them home and strangle them to death.
Oh my gosh.
Yeah, because that's more humane.
Than the gas chambers.
Than going to sleep and just waking up. Fucking retard. That's the kind of chick that you fuck and she cries halfway through. Fuck that shit. I don't have time for that. I want to come. I don't want to console.
So, one of the other things they're saying in this article, and this is a pretty fun article actually, says it's isn't the first time that PETA's gone off in the video game industry. In fact, the group is becoming notoriously famous for attacking the steal details in games. 2009, PETA urged members to log into World of Warcraft to wage battle against seal hunters in the Howling Fjord, where horde players were clubbing baby seals to death in the game.
Fuck yeah! Grinding!
I think it's fucking hilarious.
They're only worth 2 XP, but fuck, I killed them
all! Like, if PETA wasn't a game and I could club a baby seal, I would be racking up.
If I was in Warcraft clubbing seals and I just saw, like, combo pop up, it says, like, you know, chanting some,
yeah,
like,
I bet
PETA
plays Night Elf, don't you think?
Yeah, I can see them playing fucking Night Elf Hunters.
Not even Hunters, because Hunters kill animals.
Oh, what, Druids?
It'd be Night Elf Druids.
Yeah, they'd be Druids. But can you imagine you're out there clubbing seals on the coast, and there's this group of people there, you see little blurbs popping over their head of them chanting some, like, anti-baby seal killing thing. You're just like, what the fuck is this? When did the fucking role player guys get here?
Well, they were asking to wage war against the seal hunters.
Yeah.
So this is a good quick recap on PETA and video games. In 2011, PETA also launched an outcry over the Tanuki suit in Mario, claiming that because Tanukis are real-life raccoon dogs that are often beaten and skinned alive for their fur. And then PETA attacked the Call of Duty franchise for allowing the killing of dogs in their games. So, you know what, PETA? Suck my dick.
You know what, PETA? I can shoot a wild boar in fucking Far Cry or Tomb Raider. Where were you?
Well,
in
Tomb Raider, they're good XP because they're quick.
Oh, yeah. But
so
the
I usually
thing
go for
is,
boars.
Is where were they on that? Yeah, Assassin's Creed 3, you're hunting deer, rabbit, everything, and skinning it alive. I didn't hear them say anything about that.
Yeah.
That's historically accurate. That's fucking fur hunting and shit. But I didn't hear them bitch. They only do this crap to get attention. It's the same thing as certain media websites that attack video games saying they're sexist or racist when they're really not. They're just doing it to get the headlines, to get the SEO quality for them to show up on all the Google search engines, because it's a fucking topic that they've created. They get the hits, and it makes their fucking rank look good. That's all it's about.
I agree.
Yeah.
It's fiction, and you're right, it's historically accurate.
It's bullshit. And then some article writer who fucking picked his nose for the entire fucking article while writing it just goes off and puts on his resume, I wrote an article that got 3 million views in fucking 4 days. Woo! Hire me. That's all it is. It's somebody trying to pad their resume and make themselves look more important than what they really were. If I went off and posted pictures of fucking like J-Lo butt naked with a giant black guy's dick on a web page, I would get 5 million views. I then go off and say, oh, I posted an article on a website and it got me 5 million views in 3 days. I don't have to say what the article was about, but it happened. It happened. I got 5 million fucking hits. That's all it is. Yeah, there's a car alarm going on.
That's fucking annoying.
Yeah. But anyways, that's all it is. That's all it will ever be. These people have no grounds, no fucking room to talk.
Right.
And they're founded on a lie. A total lie. And the chick needs to pull the tampon out of her ass, or she's put in the wrong fucking hole. So.
That being said, we love to hate on PETA. And I love to hate on PETA because I used to be not quite part of PETA, but I used to be vegan.
I respect PETA for what they want to be, for what they should have been, which is to protect the rights of animals and stuff, to protect the rights of anything. I really appreciate that, and I like that. But they're a bunch of screaming fucking twats. That's all they fucking are.
Are they considered eco-terrorists?
Some of them are.
Some of them, yeah. They'll go to extremes.
Or is it just factions of them?
Factions,
I think they're kind of like the Al-Qaeda. I mean, yeah. There's like the more dangerous ones and then the ones that aren't quite as dangerous.
Yeah.
But the problem is that PETA's actual headquarters is the one issuing these. So it's not the factions issue. It's the fucking HQ that's issuing these.
I don't know. Yeah. When the girls go topless to protest for, I think that's kind of hot.
Yeah, it's really hot. I don't mind that so much. But no, I mean, I respect what they could be if they would just shut the fuck up and do it the right way. Stop being a whiny little bitch. You're not going to get what you want just because you're going to, you know, sensationalize everything. You're just going to look like a fucking idiot. And you wonder why people don't take you seriously.
I'm a person eating tasty animals again. So.
I eat tasty animals. Sometimes I prefer them with eyeballs on. Suck
fish?
It. Yeah, I fucking love
fish with the eyeballs.
Full on fish. Don't cut the head off. I like to talk to it while I eat. So.
Another bit of news I have is Ron Gilbert, one of the really big guys in Double Fine, just left. He's created some pretty big games, the Plunky Island. He's also created Manic Mansion. Of course, if you know Double Fine, they've created a shitload of other games that are smaller. Mm-hmm. But he went to the greener pastures. I guess it wasn't on totally good terms, but he's going off to do something else. Double Fine's always been kind of a...
Did they do stacking and Costume Quest? Yeah, I have their...
Costume Quest kicks ass.
Yeah, I have the Double Fine collection on PC. It's really good. Stacking, have you ever played that?
I've always meant to play stacking.
It is so much fun.
They're just really good at making unique games.
Have you heard of that one, stacking?
Mm-hmm. They're little Russian stacking dolls.
Yeah, you have the little stacking dolls and you play one, and you can go up and what you do is you can disguise yourself inside of another one as long as it's one size bigger than you.
Yeah.
So if you need to be a cop to get through a level, you just go up and walk behind it, and you run into it, and then you take him over. And then you can just go all the way back down to a little tiny little doll, and you're walking around taking over. And you need to take over certain types of dolls to get through certain areas, like a cop or a woman. You can actually disguise yourself as a woman to go over and distract some cops. And then you jump out of her and run away, and they're busy talking to her, so you can sneak into places. It's a really
neat
cute game. And the whole point is your family's been kidnapped, and you're the youngest of the little stackers, and you're going off to rescue them. So it's a really cute game.
They make really interesting games that are really kid-friendly, but also very unique and very challenging, if you want it to be.
Yeah.
And sometimes some of them are kind of dumbed down. Like, Costume Quest is kind of dumbed down, but basically you're a kid that's trick-or-treating and the different costumes you get give you different powers and it plays out like a Final Fantasy type of RPG.
Remember the South Park episode where they get the samurai weapons and it just booms into like Japanime type stuff? So that's kind of how Costume Quest is set up. You become that thing. So you're wearing a little cute little tinfoil thing.
Plus, like, you have this kid that's in this really cheesy, like, knight costume, and then it goes into battle, like, Final Fantasy style.
Yeah.
And he's a fucking knight.
Yeah, like straight
hardcore
up.
Fucking knight. And then it zooms out of battle, and he's a kid again.
Yeah.
I have heard of Costume Quest.
It's a cute game. It's worth playing.
Is that what it's called, Costume Quest?
Uh-huh. Yeah, I fucking love it.
Yeah, it's a cute game. All their games are really fun. And they have a collection on Steam that's really worth picking up. It's not that expensive. So,
other stories I have, and then... Drew, do you have anything?
News-wise?
Yeah.
No. Mm-mm.
You brought a lot of shit with you.
Yeah, I did, didn't I?
You got anything in your stack of stuff there?
No, just basically about the games that we've already went over.
And it's also like 3 pages on how to cook a steak.
It is.
And then give a blowjob.
Steak, wink, wink.
Yeah.
How to give a proper steak.
How to give a proper filet mignon. London broil.
London broil.
Yeah.
All right, well, Trent, you don't really have any news, right?
I got that one thing, but...
Go for it.
No, we're going to rag on it.
Okay.
So we'll go
through this. Remember, there was all this talk on Kickstarter about a new Android console called Ouya.
Yeah.
To the point where I have a buddy of mine, John, Big John over at work, John M. You know who I'm talking about. The guy was with me on that project forever, Drew.
Yeah. I know who you're talking about.
Yeah.
Jonathan.
Yeah. He's a software developer, like independent software developer, aside from what he does.
Mm-hmm.
And the Ouya was very Android-based, so you could basically develop anything that you wanted it to do. And So a buddy of mine, he's really intelligent. He's thinking about using it for practical applications.
Mm-hmm.
So different ways to control like his surround sound and things like that through the Android, like ice cream sandwich and things like that. He's thinking about actually using the... Because this is open source. So they release all the dev kits, all the dev tools to the public. And you're free to do whatever the fuck you want. But anyways, pre-orders just went live for Ouya. If you're looking to do it. And it's still just $99. So... I'd like to see what happens. I want to give it some time, though, before I see what happens with it. But right now, the console's available for $99, $99.99, but the controller is $49.99, which is pretty crazy high.
Oh, wow.
I guess. Well, I guess the Microsoft controller is still $39.99, so I guess it's not that bad. But that's the biggest piece of news that I have, aside from everything else.
The Xbox controllers are still like $50.
Yeah, so I guess it's pretty similar.
The cheaper off-brand ones that they have, the ones with the shitty ass analogs on, those are like $30.
Gotcha.
And they're all corded.
All right, what did you have that was? Oh, I know what we're talking
about.
Oh
yeah. Okay, so back in the day, Justin and I used to be part of this group of people that would go out and do stuff. It was a club scene. I was a DJ, he was a musician, I also was a musician.
I did a lot of photography for a lot of people in our scene.
Yeah, he used to take photos of my band and stuff and other bands. And it was just always fun. There's this guy, and I usually don't talk about this stuff, but this is just desserts. And
This is karma at its best.
This is one of those I told you so things.
This is a My Name is Earl moment.
Yes. Now, there's this guy who came around, whose name is Marlon Pullman. We're going to say his name.
Because it's in black and white.
It's all over the fucking news anyway. So, Marlon Pullman of Oklahoma, who was recently living in Portland. Basically, this guy was a scumfucker. I hated him. He was a piece of shit. He used people, took advantage of people. All that crap was crazy. I just got this really bad vibe from him. Like, this guy is possible of causing a lot of damage. And he's a piece of shit. I don't want him around. The guy, like... bought up rights to one of the local clubs from back in the day and sat on them so that the club couldn't be reopened unless it was done his way. He bought up one of my friend's companies. He helped them start it, and he lied to them about their stocks. So when they thought they had controlling stocks, he turned around and said, no, actually, I have all the controlling stocks, and now you have to do things my way. He tried to take over the club night as well, saying that he's like, I just bought up every last Saturday for the next 6 months, so if you want to do your club night, you gotta go through me. Total dickhead. We just do this shit for no reason. He'll be nice to you 1 minute, then come back and tell you, oh, by the way, I now own your house. And you have to do what I tell you to. Just like that. Put a friend of mine in jail because he wanted to fuck his ex-girlfriend. That was great. Yeah, took everything from him. His fucking home, his car, his job.
Just to
try and fuck his ex-girlfriend. Yeah. Total piece of shit. And that's when I pretty much tried to kick the shit out of him. I got tired of him at that point. Anyways... this guy disappears and goes out to Portland because, well, he took a friend of mine off to California to go visit her boyfriend. And rather than seeing her boyfriend, she spent the entire time in a hotel room, drugged up out of her mind while he was trying to fuck her. He probably did rape her. never found out for sure. I know that girl since she was 11, so I was very pissed off. But he disappeared after that. Until now, he's come up in the news.
Yeah, what's crazy is Tulsa's kind of a big small town. There's about 1 million people in the metro, but everybody's interconnected somehow. The other guy, the only other guy at work with the handlebars, was talking to me. He's like, "Hey, hey, come over here."
Yeah.
He's like, "Do you know Marlon?" I was like, "What'd that douchebag do this time?" Yeah. And then he showed me the story in black and white. I was like, "Oh shit."
Yeah, one of the devs, the guy who sits in the desk next to me, one of the devs, sent me the fucking email because he and I were out eating Chinese food one day, and we realized that we knew a lot of the same people, and he mentioned Marlon. Boom. 3 months later, Marlon comes up in a news report. He finds it. He sends it to me. And then you send it to me as well. I've already seen it. And the beauty is, okay, here's the story. He lives in Portland. He goes out. He's in the Philippines.
In Thailand.
In Thailand. On a vacation or whatever. He'd been going there several times, apparently, from what I found out. He even went there when he lived here. And he said everybody he was going there for chemotherapy. Because he got cancer, Hodgkin's, one time. Went into a complete remission, was completely fine, and then he gets it 2 more times, which you find out were actually fake. He didn't have it. He lied because he wanted to get people's sympathy back, because he had pissed them off so many times, even after the chemo. So every time he pissed somebody really important off, or a large group, he'd get cancer again. And it's funny, because all the news articles I keep reading talk about his battle with cancer 3 different times. I want to email them and just be like, dude, that's not how it went, you know? But either way, I don't care. I'm staying out of it. But anyways, he went to Thailand back in the day, telling people it was for chemo. No, he got liposuction because he couldn't pass the middle eval fucking test to get cosmetic surgery. So he went to Thailand where they do it at a discount. Fucking asshole. He's still a fat fucker. His face looks like a side of a fucking cannoli.
I saw somebody's face said he looked like a garbage pail kid.
He does! He's got this little tiny face with a huge fucking ass around it. Fuck that guy. Anyways, it looks like the base of his ears are just fucking gigantic fatness around his face. Anyway, fuck him. He's a fat fuck. So, he goes to Thailand recently. When he comes back, cops there and they arrest him. Instantly, like Wednesday morning, boom, they pick him up. On several counts, he has 4 counts of basically rape, we'll just put it that way. There's forcing people to consume drugs, there's having a drug lab, kidnapping, third degree sodomy. What the fuck is that?
Sodomy to the third degree.
To the third degree. When you do math, that means it's 3 times. It's like 3 to the 3rd. I mean, that means that's fucking, oh my god, you know? Anyway, no, but third degree sodomy is actually not as bad as first degree, so whatever the fuck it is, I don't know. It's probably forcing yourself upon somebody when they're asleep. That actually is probably what it is. Here, look it up. Look up third degree sodomy.
I'll look it up while you're talking.
Okay. He's got, and I think it might be forcing yourself on somebody who's passed out. Or possibly, what's the term? A vulnerable person, a vulnerable adult. He's got that, because I know that is a sodomy charge. He's probably got that. He's got, I said kidnapping, all this stuff. But either way, oh, and assault. I think first degree assault. Either way, I went and started reading the stories for these women that have filed for police reports. One of them said, oh yeah, he was at a party, we had recently been dating, we split up, he was there, he invited me out to his car to do some NOS and everything, and then he stabbed me with a spring-loaded injector fucking pen.
Nitrous oxide, not me.
Yeah. And then he stabbed her with this injector pen. She had to go to the hospital where she was passed out for 8 hours straight.
You want to read the definition?
Muscle spasms. Yeah, read the definition of sodomy.
Sodomy in the third degree, class C felony, up to 4 years in prison. Person engages in deviant sexual intercourse with a person who is incapable of consent or reason,
boom,
or factor other than being less than 17 years old, or being 21 years old or more, engages in a deviant sexual intercourse with a person less than 17 years old.
So pretty much, yeah, that classifies as somebody who's knocked out, pretty much. Who's incapable.
But it also classifies... Drew, you went to law school.
No, I didn't.
No, you didn't?
No.
You were trying to get into law school.
I was trying to get into law school and failed miserably. Thank you for taking off that bandage.
That can pretty much be taken as somebody who is incapable, somebody who's
not. No, but they said specifically 17 years old.
Yeah, but that's what 17 years old.
It looks like it's either statutory or somebody who's unconscious.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying, is it can be taken as both.
Yeah.
So, degrees of laws can cover different scenarios. That's what just go ahead
and this
and
is like the New York, I think, so. Definition.
But either way, he's busted for that. I read some of the allegations from these women, and so what's creepy is I read them, and they actually match up with shit he did here. Every one of them involves his fucking magical tanks of NOS and fucking ecstasy, which he makes at home. Homemade ecstasy, which is a cocktail.
Well, it's cheaper.
Well, no, he put together a cocktail that actually blocks people out.
Here's a summary of the charges.
Yeah, go ahead, read all of them, man.
He was jailed on 25 charges, including 2 counts each of kidnapping and rape, and 4 counts of causing someone to ingest an uncontrolled substance.
Yeah.
His bail was set at $2 million.
Now, the two that aren't, that aren't rape is because one was his housekeeper, who he offered her a glass of NOS, and they gave her a glass of water. She said the water tasted funny, and she started to black out, and she remembers him kissing her when she was blacking out. And the other one was the girl that was in the car, because as soon as he injected her, she freaked the fuck out, and she got really sick and had to go to the hospital, where she was hospitalized and passed out for 8 hours. So those two, he didn't succeed, thankfully. One of
is
the
that
women...
His car?
No, the ice cream truck is not his car.
That would be great. He's like, I'm your ice cream man. Look out for my ice cream van. Anyways, it's a sloppy second song. Anyway, what the other one was a woman who said that she was drugged by him, and when she woke up with him on top of her naked, and she started screaming, he said, oh, I was just trying to take care of you. Quoted, I was just trying to take care of you. I should have been a lawyer. I would have said, let me prosecute this man. I would have lied. It's like, I know him so well. And I know how vain and fucking self-centered this fucker is. He is in prison. He actually thinks he can probably beat this. His lawyer put in a plea for not guilty. I know he actually thinks he's smart enough to get away. He's like Ted Bundy arrogant, but not Ted Bundy smart.
Yeah.
Yeah, Ted Bundy was a genius. He stayed in litigation for 10 fucking years. Marlon will not pull that off. Marlon is going to get crucified. They'll probably plead some of the charges down, but he's still going to go to fucking prison.
Yeah. I hope he's there till he's good and old.
He's going to go to prison, and it's not going to be pretty.
He'll get raped in prison.
Oh, I hope to God he does. He's a fat boy ready for a big dick. Like, Coke can-sized dick. But either way, this guy's a scumfuck. Follow the articles. Follow the trial. It's going to be hilarious, because this guy has no tact whatsoever.
All you do is, I'm not going to link it on the show, but just Google Oregon rape.
Yeah, Oregon rape. Oregon rape. It's like Oregon Trail.
Yes, I was thinking. Yeah. That's the trail he took.
Like, your party died of dysentery caught from a woman's asshole. Anyways. But yeah, man, this guy just
hit with an auto injector.
Yeah. Nitrous can explodes. Two horses die. And then just out of nowhere, for some reason, Billy was killed reshoeing a horse. Just nothing to do with drugs. Just he was killed reshoeing a horse. You're like, alright, what the fuck ever. Somebody got into the private ecstasy stash, got naked, and speared themselves. I don't know how. Mm. But no, yeah, this guy. I mean, do you have any Marlon story you want to share?
No, I'm good. Long story short, I know that he was pissing off. He pissed off my girlfriend to try to get my girlfriend in the freeway with him.
Oh, yeah.
And gave her something to drink, and then she said she felt like shit. I got pissed. Told him I was going to kill him. Didn't do it. I wanted to be the bigger man at that point, and then I just took her home and let her sleep off whatever the fuck he gave her.
Yeah.
How long ago was that?
7 or 8 years.
Not his current girlfriend. Okay. Old one, yeah.
I know that there was a point where he was telling women that the only way they'd get into his pool was to take off their clothes because it was going to clog up the filters.
No, it was his hot tub, which I sabotaged that hot tub because, one, I knew it was giving people really bad rashes and stuff, and the girl I was seeing wanted to get into the hot tub, so I took a whiskey bottle and bam, right on the inside of it, shredded glass everywhere into the filter. Hot tub shut down for the night. And I was like, I am a secret hero. Everybody's yelling at me, going like, you stupid fuck, why'd you do that? Shannon was like, you fucking moron, why'd you do that? You drunk bastard. And I was like, I'm just gonna keep this all inside, because right now I am a hero.
Yeah.
I just saved you some antibiotic visits. Be happy. So, and he had to clean it, but it took him 2 months to do it.
That being said, it's one of those things where the only reason we're really bringing it up on the show is because it was one of those things that made me and Trent and a lot of our friends extremely
happy
to see somebody who was such a douchebag
and a sick fuck. He really deserves to be where he is going.
like this is when the legal system does work.
Oh yeah,
hopefully. We'll see. glad the dude's gone. Like, we wouldn't even bring it up if it wasn't a fucking national story, but it's a fucking national story. It involves somebody that we loathe.
Yeah.
Which is the only reason we're bringing it up on a game podcast. But if you want to look at it, it's a fairly interesting story. If you, I don't know, so we can pretty much confirm that this is not out of character for him.
Mm-hmm. Now, everything I've read from every one of these women matches shit that he used to try and do here. And that he
more or less got run off here.
Like, he got ran off. Yeah, there was no point for him to stay here. He ran the fuck off. But it matched everything he had done here. The thing is that I don't think anybody ever pressed charges on him here. And I don't know why. And I know that he tried to do shit. Like, even with your ex, you know, I know that he tried to do something. I'm pretty sure he succeeded a couple times. But he's smart enough to try and trick some people and actually get away with it. And I've seen him do it to some people that are really pissed off at him. He was able to turn around on them pretty well. But those are people who have no scruples, and he pretty much just flaunted cash in their face. So, and it's sad to say, there are some women out there that if they were violated, would just shut the fuck up if you handed them like $300, especially in this town. With that scene.
Yeah.
Yeah, especially that scene.
Right.
Burn!
Work a day and a half, Jesus. Work a good day.
Yeah, just work. Yeah. That's all it is. Just get a fucking job. Oh, man.
That being said, that just felt righteous to get out.
Yeah, it did. I felt so happy.
Do you got anything else, Trent?
Nah, I don't know. That pig fucker going down, that's about it.
Drew?
Nah.
All right, well, go ahead and jump into the next part here.
No, just a list of games.
Yeah, I wasn't sure that was next.
I really don't got a lot else. I know we didn't talk about God of War this week. I'll explain myself. It's not that it's a PS4 game, and I don't review PS4 games, because I do. Excuse me. Shadows of the Damned is pretty awesome. That and Journey were the last two PS4 things that I really got into, or PS3 things that I really got into. God of War, I'll be honest with you, I started 3, and I haven't had time to finish it. I didn't think it was good for me to marathon game that and then jump straight into God of War Ascension, especially when StarCraft was coming out, and I knew that I was going to be playing the shit out of that. And sometimes here at Tiltcast, we kind of pick and choose, and we got to. I don't have enough time to play every single game that comes out, and I think we're realizing that at this point. We're doing this as a really fun hobby that we love to do, that, you know, that we would rather just pick and choose the things we want to do. Sometimes it's not always good, like Aliens Colonial Marines didn't turn out the way we wanted it to.
Yeah.
But at least, like I said, we got some good along with the bad this way, and it's a little bit more practical for us. So really, I think people at this point realize that they're listening to us for the things we like, or potentially will like. That being said, though, Heart of the Swarm is out now, available on PC. We got some games coming up next week. We have Gears of War Judgment, which I will be picking up. Monster Hunter 3 Ultimate, which I will be picking up that Friday when I get paid. And then there's also Walking Dead Survival Instinct coming out, which I don't want to suggest to people because it looks like a cash grab. Either way, we may try to pick up a copy of Walking Dead Survival Instinct or write them to see if we can get a copy, just so we can actually rate it and see if it's worth a damn. But that being said, really be looking more for the Gears of War review or that we're talking about to be talking about next week. I'll be playing the shit out of that. And then Monster Hunter 3 Ultimate is really a remake with an additional content for Monster Hunter Tri for Wii U. There's some things that are really cool coming up about that, because you'll be able to play it on the second screen exclusively if you want to, or just play it on the big screen. I'll probably play it on the big screen, but I'm a big Monster Hunter fan, and we'll be playing the shit out of that when I do pick it up. It's just that because it is kind of a remake, I'd rather focus on Gears of War and get that knocked out before I jump into that. Mm-hmm. Coming up after that, we got, let's see, Bioshock Infinite coming out the following week, the week of the 26th, which I think will be something that people want to hear about, and I'll talk about that.
Ooh, Slender.
And then Slender, the arrival for PC and Mac, which looks like a full version of Slender
coming out
the following, that same week.
Did Steam... I usually check the green light list for Steam. Did they ever green light that Slender game on Steam that was propositioned?
You're catching me at a bad moment. I don't know for sure.
When is it not a bad moment, Justin? Let's just be honest. Your drinking's gotten just way out of hand.
I don't know. lastly, there is something big that I'm interested in. That I don't know how good it's going to be, but Defiance.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Defiance is that game that's going to be done in a weekly episode on sci-fi.
Yeah.
On top of being a massive multiplayer shooter sci-fi game that's going to be available on Xbox, PS3, and PSC. Mm-hmm. PS3. So, I may pick it up on PC and just see how good or bad it is that week to kind of give you guys an idea of if it's worth a damn or not.
I'll probably check out the demo if they put one out, so once it's launched.
That being said, there's not a lot else coming out right now. April's a big month. We'll get into April as it comes through.
Mm-hmm.
And that's pretty much it for new games.
Yeah, and so what we're going to do is we're going to go ahead and run through our shout-outs.
Yep, we got friends of the show at carolsportspodcast.com, elsportspodcast.com, friends that actually live here in town as well. For the Love of Gaming, bmfcast.com, Bad Movie Fiends, and Bad Motherfuckers. Also have noquarters.net, the monthly video game podcast done by the BMF crew.
Mm-hmm.
And, of course, tvgp.tv. They do good things. And I have their t-shirt. We need t-shirts. Anyways, find the show at tiltcast.com. Find us on iTunes at search Tiltcast. Rate us and review us. Find us on Stitcher if you have an Android device. You can also find us on Facebook.com/Tiltcast or find us on Twitter.com/Tiltcast.
Yes, ma'am.
Or write the show at teabag@tiltcast.com.
That would be my teabag. But yeah, teabag@tiltcast.com.
And here, maybe towards the end of all of these shows with our red shirt potential newbies, you can write us and tell us what you think.
I think she's one of the first red shirts to not actually wear a red shirt on the first show.
Did Casey Redder wear
a red
shirt?
Yeah, he wore a red shirt, yeah.
He did?
Yeah, red on a shirt. Yeah. That's where we got the name was from Star Trek, but also it seemed that everybody who came in to do a photo spot would always wear red.
Yeah,
so,
Rex wore red shirts.
her pretzel bag has red on it.
There we go. There we go.
And her Gatorade she was drinking was red, sort of.
That's true.
So that means her stomach is
red. I have red in me.
Yeah, she has red in her. Red,
and not
red.
Just
and blood. Yeah.
Not just blood.
Blood come out the vagina and butt.
Yeah.
So that being said, we were going to close the show out. Thanks for listening.
Yeah. See you guys next time.
Bye. It was nice talking to you guys.